Honourable members, I'd like to welcome all of you. Good morning. I know we haven't seen each other for a while. We all missed each other. That's very good about this portfolio committee. We can have our differences, but we always know that this committee is at the center of developing a peace and security footprint in the country. So I would like to welcome you all back. I know that the period was not a holiday. It was you all getting back to your constituencies. I would like to welcome Honorable Groenewald is here. Honorable Shembeni, welcome back. Honorable Faku, Meshu, Honorable De Blanche. I know we've all been contacting each other. It is not that if we go on recess that our work stops. I think when we go on recess, we realize how much our people need. Honorable Mapatsu, Honorable Majozi, are you here? Shembeni, good morning. Moss, good morning. Do I have Molekwa, Honorable Whitfield? I don't see Honorable Peacock, is she here? Anyway, Honorable members, before we start, could we please pause and observe a moment of silence, of silent prayer? We lost one of our former members, Honorable Mofokeng, and her daughter. She was very dear to us. She was part of this committee for a very long time. I would like us to observe a moment of silence or silent prayer. May their dear souls rest in peace. She also lost her daughter. So we send our condolences to the family and for those who joined in for a funeral service. Thank you very much. Much it was on Zoom. Lady from is Meshu here? I saw him. Members?
Chairperson, are you still there? Because I don't hear a sound.
Yes, Sorry, I just got back now. I had to change my position. Honourable members, where did I lose you? I asked Meshu if he was leaving early.
Yes.
All right. So we did the moment of silence. Honourable Meshu, I received your apology.
Thank you.
I said the minister will not be here. The deputy minister will be late. Did you get that? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear it, Chairperson.
No,
I heard it.
So the minister sent an apology and the deputy minister will be late. Honorable members, the NCOP was supposed to join us for these meetings of the budget hearings. They will not join us because of other NCOP programs. So you have that as well. The next announcement, honorable members, is that the oversight visit, honorable de Blanche, we have attended to it. The oversight visit was supposed to be the Friday and the Saturday. Now, honorable members, we have not done an oversight visit because every time our oversight visit overlaps with programs of parliament. We now really have run out of time. We cannot postpone our oversight visits. I'm sure all political parties, you are under pressure by your political parties to do oversight visits. So the oversight visit will happen the Saturday and the Sunday. They will open up all the necessary buildings for us for Saturday and Sunday, but I cannot postpone the oversight visit. Honorable Shembeni, do you have problems with that?
No, I don't.
Honorable members, do you all agree that the oversight visit must continue?
Chairperson?
Yes, honorable. I see honorable Whitfield, honorable Groenewald. Groenewald, you can start.
Thank you, Chair, but do I understand you said the Saturday and the Sunday, what happened to the Friday? Why, I mean, there's...
Honorable Groenewald, there's house sittings on the Friday. Honorable Whitfield, and then Meshu.
Chair, thank you. I wanted to just confirm that because I received a draft program and we booked flights accordingly and made arrangements to conclude on Saturday at lunchtime. So, I wasn't aware that there were house sittings on the Friday.
Honourable members, let us all agree. Honourable Meshu, before you respond. Honourable members, let us all agree on the first point. The oversight visit must take place. How and when? The full day on Saturday and travel back on Sunday. That is my proposal. Honourable Meshu?
Chairperson, thank you. I would like to tender my apology for Sunday. I will not be available.
We understand, honorable Meshu. We will just do it one day on Saturday and travel back on Sunday. Is that acceptable to you, honorable Meshu, Reverend?
Well, if it's Sunday is just for traveling, that will suit me because I will be there on Saturday, but not Sunday.
Thank you very much, but the full day on Saturday.
Okay.
All right. Honorable members, full day Saturday.
Agreed,
honorable Mapatsu, we must do this. You agree? Yeah.
Agreed, yes. Chairperson.
Thank you, Mom Chair.
Thank you, honorable Sheikh Imam. Are you coming to the house on Thursday?
Yes, I am.
Are you asking questions to the president?
Supplementary questions, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Good. Honourable members, welcome Honourable Sheikh Imam. Honourable members, the next item that takes care of the NCOP, the oversight. The next item is that the matter of Honourable McBride has now gone to the Constitutional Court. You will know that we appointed Honourable McBride. We are also cited as a respondent to that court case. So the court hearing is now going to the Constitutional Court. Do you have any questions on that? If not, honorable members, I would like to thank the department and the minister. The minister and the deputy minister are not here yet. But I would sincerely like to thank the department for the very early presentations of their for their presentations. They sent the presentations very, very early. All the generals, I am absolutely impressed I don't know if it was because we were on recess, but the presentations were sent very early, and I think that allowed all the members to do justice to the budget hearings. I see General Mpazi. Is General Sotole here? I don't see. Where's General Sotole? General Sotole, are you here?
Good morning, and good morning,
wonderful.
Honorable members. We are here.
Wonderful, General. On which name are you, General Sotole?
I might be on, I'm on General KJ Sotole.
No. General, then this, my phone is hacked because here says no Sotole here on my list. It says Zulu, Dimpani, Vuma, Masimola, Mfazi, Rit, Sentumule, Ntsiya, Rit is again here. This Rit, why is he here twice? No, something is going wrong here. There's two Rits here. Who's this one that's crashing my meeting? General Sotole, why do I have two reads here? Please explain.
I think Honorable Chair, he has connected, but also his office has connected him, will correct it.
So they connected him just in case he's late. This thing that the generals are crooks, this thing is true. General Sotole, is this thing true that your generals are crooks?
Sometimes we need crooks to catch crooks.
General Sotole, we are on live TV.
No, I'm just saying we apply such tactics to catch the crooks, but we're not necessarily crooks.
Honorable members, Honorable Sheikh Imam is going to be leaving us early. You are welcome. General Sotole, thank you very much. Your presentations were early, and we really appreciate it. We could go through those presentations thoroughly. That was a very, very good presentation. Dr. Kinnis, the one on the Chinese, do you maybe have that letter of the Chinese?
Chair, I'll just find it for you. Just give me a
okay.
minute.
Okay, can you just find it for me while I'm discussing it? Honorable members, we are having a Zoom meeting with the Chinese delegation. You remember the Chinese visited us during our first year. Last year, we were supposed to visit the Chinese Republic, the People's Republic of China. We were unable to do that because of COVID. They are now going to have a Zoom meeting with us. They have requested the names of the participants, the members who were there, that will be in the meeting. They have sent us the list of their members who will be in the meeting. They would also like to know the number and the names of the members who will speak. That is unfortunately how the People's Republic of China works and operates. Honorable members, with your permission, the chair will make the opening remarks and the welcoming. The chair will also do the opening speech. I have then requested that Honorable Groenewald is the first speaker, and I don't see Honorable Majozi. I then asked that Honorable Majozi as a woman be the second speaker, and then that the third speaker be Honorable Mapatsu because he is the whip. Honorable members, do you have any problems with those three speakers? Honorable Majozi, welcome. Do you have any problems with those speakers? Would you like me to change it? Honorable members, I'm waiting for you.
I don't have a problem.
Honorable Sir Blanche.
Chairperson, just a question. How did you arrive at that decision? Is that the decision that you took on your own?
Honorable Sir Blanche, those are just the ones who are going to be doing inputs. It doesn't mean that you are not going to speak in the meeting. I did not arrive on the, I consulted with the staff. We decided that the chairperson must speak, the whip must speak. We need another woman. We didn't take that woman from the ANC. So we took the woman from the IFP. I am asking that if the opposition parties, if you can all agree that we let Honorable Groenewald speak and that you be allowed opportunities to speak in between, that the formal speeches or the formal input be made by those three members. Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you very much for that, Chairperson. It seems like we don't have a choice, but I respect your decision. The only concern I have with the Chinese influence in this country, are they even dictating in the portfolio committee? Who should and who should speak? But thank you very much. I'll accept your decision. Thank you.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, I lost you. I don't know if it is my connectivity or yours. You said you
accepted. Can I get... Yes, Chairperson, it doesn't appear that you have a choice. However, I respect your decision, and with the limited number of people allowed to participate, I can understand that. However, I have a concern, and that is that the Chinese, who already have a great influence in this country, are even influencing decisions in the portfolio committee. So I hope they're not dictating to us. But thank you very much. I accept your decision. Thank you.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, I saw the smile on your face. They are not dictating to us. Honorable members, the three names I will give will be on specific topics. Let me clarify that. The other members, you will be given an opportunity to speak. It would just be that those members will be giving specific topics. We will cut short their time, and you should indicate to me if you would also like to speak. It is a Zoom meeting, and we would like to manage our time very carefully. Honorable Mapatso, would you like to say something?
No, Chair, I'm fine.
All right. Dr. Kinnis, can you flight that invitation, please?
Okay, Chair.
The one where they say topics?
Yeah, it is, Chair. I'm going to just take you through. That is the agenda. There's the introduction and keynote speech from the Chinese chairperson and then from yourself. You each have 5 minutes initially to introduce your delegations, and then you make a speech for 10 minutes each. Then their under point two, Chair, communication and interaction, there's a speech by the vice chairperson, and the topic is introducing policing in community governance. So there, a member of the PC on police will speak for 8 minutes, including the time for consecutive interpretation.
My apologies, Doc. We are actually saying they must speak for 4 minutes because 4 minutes will be in interpretation.
Chair, I'm not sure how long the interpretation will take.
Say the speeches must be 5 minutes. And 3 minutes for interpretation.
Okay, Chair. The third, so that will be the first member on the portfolio committee, except yourself, Chair.
Yes, so that will be Honorable Groenewald. It's introducing policing in community governance. That's your topic.
The second one is on point four, a PC on police member speaks on... introducing policing and the related supervision. I suppose that's how the police are managed.
police relating supervision, that is Honorable Majozi.
Yeah, and then number six there, Chair, is a PC on police member speaks for 8 minutes again, introducing practices of community policing. So thereafter, there's a question and answer session for 30 minutes, so members can participate there as well, Chair. Thank you.
And then honorable members, could we agree that during those 30 minutes, that we allow Honorable Shembeni, Sheikh Imam, Whitfield, Ter Blanche, Reverend Meshu, we make a point of who will be speaking there. Are we in agreement?
Agreed, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Agreed, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, if there is any other...
Delay.
Ask your consultant. Ready half nine.
Someone is talking here in my meeting. Honorable Faku. Honorable Faku, you disrupting my meeting.
I'm sorry, Chair. I agree with your proposal.
Thank you, Honorable Faku. Honorable members, if there's any other business you would like to highlight to me, you can do so now. We haven't seen each other for a while.
Chairperson?
Yes, you may, Honorable Sheikh Imam.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be out of order, but the Chinese delegation, Chairperson, that we are meeting, am I at liberty to address the high levels of human rights abuses in China and how does their police deal with the problem?
Honorable Sheikh Imam, why do you now want to... We are not talking about human rights abuses in China. We're talking about policing.
With due respect, but the question is how does the police deal with this human rights abuses that's taking place in China? It's very, very important. We know how we deal with it as South African police service and law enforcement in our country. I'd like to see whether they are influenced by government or whether they're independent and whether they act appropriately, which I know they're not. So I'm not just sure whether I'll be spoiling this meeting if I ask those questions, but I'm very much tempted to, Chairperson.
Honorable Faku and then Honorable Mapatsu and then Honorable Meshu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Perhaps let me first maybe try and respond to what Honorable Sheikh is raising. I think, as you are saying, that we'll be discussing mostly policing, and maybe some of these questions he has are the questions that maybe we need to have, the engagement that we need to have with the China delegation. I don't think maybe you as the Chairperson are at liberty to respond on behalf of China. Let us allow that process to unfold when it happens. But Chair, I just want to mention one issue. There's a case that I have raised in the committee in 2019 of a young lady who was brutally murdered by her boyfriend, Busisiwe Ngwana. And after we had discussions with the National Commissioner when he came down to the Eastern Cape, we want to say that today, I'm in court even now, shall be in and out. The case started yesterday, but it's proceeding today. I just wanted to highlight that. Thank you very much. It's one of the cold cases that we had in the province of gender-based violence.
Thank you very much, Honorable Faku. Are you receiving support from the provincial commissioner?
Let us discuss that outside the meeting, Chair.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's an off-record discussion. I'll also raise it with the National Commissioner. Honorable Mapatsu and then...
but just one point, Chair. Sorry. There were police that arrested the perpetrator in Cape Town, and those police are also here today. Just to thank the leadership, I know Minister Bekisela was also involved in getting this person arrested when he was in Cape Town. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Fapu, I think you should also thank the National Commissioner for coming to your area. Not that the other members should all ask the National Commissioner to come to their constituencies. Honorable Fapu, please thank the National Commissioner.
Thank you, General Sithole. Siyabulela singabantu baseMpuma Koloni, but let me just also thank you on behalf of the committee. You know that we have been very firm on the issues of gender-based violence, but we want to thank you for taking the opportunity to come down. Of course, there's still gender-based violence cases that are happening on a daily basis. Our program has not changed, but at least there's an improvement from where you have left off, especially with the court cases that we had. But every day, as a person that is leading gender-based violence cases in my province, there's a serious issue, as I phrased it with yourself. Thank you very much. But the National Commissioner has declared, like Buffalo City, one of the gender-based violence sites, and there's some programs that will happen. But after we had a meeting with him, there's not much that has happened, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner, for assisting the members of the Portfolio Committee. Honorable... Yes. I've got Mapatu and then Meshu.
And then check him on. Yes,
okay,
sir, thank
could
you.
Okay, Mapatu, Meshu, and then shake him on. Mapatu?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Mine, it was regarding the agenda with the Chinese. With the question raised by Honorable Sheikh. I think we have been given the items that we should concentrate on. And I would not be comfortable to then enter into the space of human rights abuse in China when we're discussing the issues of policing. It might be interpreted as if we're interfering in their sovereignty and how they do things in that country. And I don't think we have a position as a portfolio committee, because this is sometimes it's a country-to-country relationship. So we might really, I'm worried that if we get into that space, when we have items that it's an exchange of how do we do things. But if we get into them saying they've got human rights abuse and all those things, I see it as a problem, Chair, and I want to persuade my Honorable Sheikh that let's not enter into that space. Let's enter into the item agendas and leave this one of the human rights aside. Chair, I want to plead. That's my plead, Chair.
I agree, Honorable Mapatu, and I'm sure our brother, Honorable Sheikh Imam, you will understand that these meetings are diplomatic meetings, and they are recorded on live television. They will also be recorded on a Chinese CCTV. So can we just also be moderate in what we think we are going to do? Honorable Meshu and then Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm glad that Honorable Sheikh Imam raised the question of human rights abuses. While I understand and agree with what you just said, and Honorable Mapatwe, the fact is that while police are effecting arrests, there are methods that are used that, according to our constitution, are not acceptable. So we would want, obviously, to have the liberty of asking them how they effect arrests, and if people are being abused during the arrest. I don't see how you can separate the two. If people are abused and their rights are undermined during an arrest, what is the recourse? So the question, obviously, a number of people would ask about this meeting that will be taking place between this committee and that our counterparts in China, is whether South African police are expected to learn from how the Chinese effects arrests, or the other way around. Obviously, there has to be willingness to learn from both sides. South African police must learn from the Chinese police when it comes to issues and methods they believe will enhance their capacity and also their effectiveness. And also the Chinese should be expected to learn from the South African police who are doing what is within the confines of our laws and our constitution. So the issue of separating, effecting an arrest from human rights is going to be very difficult for us. So I would really plead that although we are going to be diplomatic, we'll try to be diplomatic, but at the same time that I would request that members be allowed to ask questions and raise issues of concern. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, I have never ever stifled you. So, honorable members, I have always allowed you to ask questions even if they are difficult. And you know that as a chairperson, I have, sometimes you've complained about the time I give you, but I've always allowed all of you to speak and to speak about your matters honestly and frankly. And I have never been in the business of censoring members in the portfolio committee. With that said, Honorable Mapatsu, lower your hand. And Honorable Sheikh Imam, you are the last speaker on this matter, and then I will close this matter.
All right. Chair, before I go to this matter, I just want to take this opportunity of thanking our National Commissioner. He's always available to take a call at any hours of the day or night. And thank you for your intervention in KwaZulu-Natal. Your provincial commissioner has come to the party and a lot has been done. But I want to urge the portfolio committee through you, Chairperson, to give an opportunity for a presentation to be made to the committee on how serious the issue of complacency and corruption and collusion with law enforcement is on the ground, and how difficult it is making it for people like Commissioner Sithole to be able to get officers to be compliant and do the right thing. But I'd like us to get a clear picture to watching first-hand video footage, which I think I've spoken to you previously about, Chair, and we said we will arrange something. So that's the first thing. But thank you very much. There has been some improvements, and I think heads will be rolling shortly. Now, the issue of this particular one here, Chair, on the issue of China, you know, it's very painful to see what's happening to the people in China. And I think if you allow us the opportunity through diplomatic means to be able to raise concerns. But more importantly, you can't separate the issue and the human rights violations from the work of law enforcement, because they have a responsibility. And what I want to know is, how do they deal with this? We know how we deal with it in South Africa. How do they deal with these things in terms of the high levels of human rights abuses? And we're talking about millions of people that are suffering in China. In fact, if I want to be very blunt, Chairperson, we should not be having a cordial relationship with countries that violate human rights. But that's a debate for another day and not for this platform. So I just think that, you know, given a little opportunity, and I know that we don't want to touch any nerves, but to get a clearer picture, how do they deal? How independent are they from the state? Are they able to act accordingly and protect the, you know, their people and that kind of thing? I think that's the, if I can be given that opportunity, I think Honorable Mesu has covered me to some extent. It will help us, you know, getting a clearer picture of how they work. Thank you.
Honorable members, that closes the topic on the Chinese delegation and our Zoom meeting with them. The last that I'd like to comment on, Honorable National Commissioner, will you be able to please assist us that we are able to go to the Forensic Science Laboratory and the Central Firearm Registry on that Saturday? Babawa, Doc, what date is that Saturday that we're going? Babawa?
Chair, I think it's the 14th, but let me just confirm on the program.
But you can confirm later in the meeting.
Okay, Chair.
Honorable members, Dr. Kinish, please stay on. When is the strat plan?
Yeah, at this stage, the strat plan in terms of the committee program is the 28th and 29th of May. That's what we're proposing. That's the change that we're proposing to the program.
Oh, sorry, what dates are that?
The 28th and the 29th of May, Chair.
All right. Honorable members, what we are requesting is that we have a more or less a midterm strategic plan of the committee where we do not receive inputs from police as we do in the portfolio committee meetings, but where we have an honest and frank discussion in the committee. It is an in-house meeting. It will not be televised. It will be a contact session, a physical session. We will adhere to all protocols of social distancing and COVID-19. And I would like to hear your opinions on whether you think I should go ahead. Honorable Mapatsu?
Yes, Honorable Chair. I think as a committee, we just need also to sit on our own and just reflect on the work that we are doing. And this strategic workshop where we are on our own is very important, Chair. I think it should go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mapatsu. Any other members?
Chair, if I may.
Honorable Meshu?
Chairperson, it is just a question whether these days are cast in stone or there can be alternative dates, because some of us, I'm personally not available that we can, and I really would want to be part of this strategic session. So is there any way of looking at other alternative dates, or this is cast in stone? Thank you.
Honorable Meshu, I do not have dates cast in stone. I would like all our members who would like to attend to be there. And I think that, you know, we should accommodate one another. I just think that we need a session as a committee. Quite frankly, if you have problems with the chair, where you can speak, where you have other suggestions, where you are having a problem with a program, but we don't just speak about problems, we also speak about what we want the committee to do as a strategic planning session, where we say we have so many years left and this is what we want the committee to achieve in the next few years. Honorable Majosi has left us. She's not feeling well. I don't see any hands. Honorable Groenewald, are you okay with a strategic planning session? Meshu, we can accommodate a new date, but it's very difficult to get dates. Honorable Ter Blanche, are you happy?
Chairperson, yes, I support the idea of a session. And yes, you know, we need to arrange that. Are we going to have that online again, or what do you think?
Honorable De Blanche, I just said that it's, I'm hoping to make it a huge venue so that you can be there physically. But obviously, we have to have a huge venue so that we respect the COVID-19 regulations. I'm just afraid that some members, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. We will need a marshal there that keeps you to social distance. Honorable De Blanche, I can see you coming to shake my hand.
Before or after I'm started, but for now, Mr. Jacob, come through.
Thank you,
very much for the presentation that was done to us, given to
thank
us.
Thank you, ma'am.
It shows us very clearly where the challenges are, where the good things are.
Thank you, ma'am, is interrupting us. Honorable Majosi, she says she's not left yet, but she's going to leave soon. She's not feeling well. Honorable Groenewald, are you happy?
Chairperson, we can continue, but you must understand this is an election year. I cannot commit myself that I will be there. Something can happen, but then I will apologize. But don't let me be the reason for not continuing. Thank you.
I think it should be a one day. Honorable members, let's try to fit it into one day. We'll arrange the date and then come back to you. Honorable members, that takes care of all the business. I thank you for your patience, General Sithole and your team. But you know, we haven't met for a while, so I have to bring all these matters to the members. Honorable members, I now allow the National Commissioner and his team to present to us. General Sithole, please introduce your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and again, greetings to all honorable members, including the Deputy Minister, if he has already arrived. Chair, just quickly, our delegation in attendance, we have Lieutenant General Livia, the national head of the Hawks, with his deputy, Lieutenant General Musikili. We've got Lieutenant General Vuma, Deputy National Commissioner for Support Services. Lieutenant General Masemula, Deputy National Commissioner for Policing and Operations. Lieutenant General Mfazi, Deputy National Commissioner for Crime Detection. Lieutenant General Dimbane, the CFO. Lieutenant General Reed, Regional Commissioner Supply Chain. Lieutenant General Kosi Sintumule, Foreign Detective and Forensic Divisional Commissioner, the new Divisional Commissioner. Lieutenant General Nzia, Human Resources. Lieutenant General Zulu, Divisional Commissioner, Human Resource Development. Lieutenant General Khan, Legal Services. Lieutenant General Mashala, Visible Policing and Operations, that's also a new division. Lieutenant General Shabane, Protection and Security. Major General Khan, representing Crime Intelligence. Major General Mavundla, Technology Services. Major General Ngosi, Chief Executive, Audit. Major General Matlou, Chief Risk Officer. Major General Sikukuni, Crime Registrar. Major General Nzima, Component Head, Organizational Development. Major General Ruode, Component Head, Presidential Protection. Major General Manzi, Program and Project Management. Major General Ravi, Strategic Management. Brigadier Mitchell, Strategic Management. Brigadier Malasela, Executive Secretariat in the National Commissioner's Office. Brigadier Naidu, Communication and Liaison, and Colonel KP State. Just quickly, so that the members of the committee do not get confused with the change in leadership, there's just few confirmations we want to make. Firstly, there's a new provincial commissioner who started in KZN, and that is Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi after the contract of General Jula expired. Then again in Limpopo, there's a new provincial commissioner who started on the 1st, and that is Lieutenant General Hatebe. Then in, I think, forensic and as well as crime detection have merged to one division as a result of the responding to the constraints, and a new divisional commissioner there has been appointed, and that is Lieutenant General Kosi Sintumule. Then Lieutenant General Mhlala, who was in forensic division before has now been moved to policing and operation, which is a merger of ORS as well as visible policing to replace Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi. Other appointments shall be announced after the endorsement by the minister. These are just the changes, the early changes that we wanted to bring members of the committee on board, since they will be visiting these environments. Then, Chair, with regard to the visit by the portfolio committee, Deputy National Commissioner Support Services, Defence General Vuma, is going to take charge of the coordination, and we'll link up with the administration of the office of the chair in the portfolio committee. We also want then to finally acknowledge the expressions by members of the portfolio committee, but also equally want to express my appreciation to members of the committee for raising issues before we even come here, because we're able to provide solutions before the committee sitting. Our presentation, Chair, is going to be led by two people. The first one is going to be Major General Ravi from Strategic Management, and then the second one is going to be the CFO, who will then be presenting the budget. If the committee is ready and the chair permit, we will then be able to give them the floor. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. General Sotole, thank you very much. We'll also have a discussion. I'll call you after the meeting. General Sotole, you may ask your representative to start the presentation. Please do not go through the presentation word by word, line by line. All the members have received these presentations very early, so we have been able to interact with the presentations. So please ask your members and your team not to read these presentations verbatim. We've seen these presentations now. We had enough time to go through them. So can you please be brief and succinct? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Leon, you got the message from the Chair. Do not rewrite, explain it, and let's keep it brief. But thank you very much. You can take the floor, Leon.
Thank you, National Commissioner. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee, in our Minister and Deputy Minister, if they have joined.
Sorry, if I might just interrupt you. General Sotole, General Rabi has been absolutely amazing in assisting the members of the Portfolio Committee, from the members who lost their gadgets, the House Chair lost her computer gadgets. General Rabi, I would like to thank you before I forget, because everything that happens, any member of parliament that has a complaint, General Sotole, I have General Rabi on speed dial. We are not in the same WhatsApp group. Anybody, if you need assistance, put General Rabi's number on speed dial. General Rabi, before you start the presentation, please give all the honorable members your cell number. Not today. Send me. I will send it to the members. Because if the public has your cell number, you are going to be in trouble. This meeting is recorded. So please, General Rabi, General Sotole, on behalf of the committee, I would really like to thank General Rabi. I send requests to him weekends. I send requests to him the middle of the night. General Rabi is always assisting. Thank you, General Sotole. I don't know what we can make a Major General Rabi, but he's my favorite person right now. Major General Rabi, you may continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, ma'am, I'm not sure exactly what to say, but thank you. But it's my duty. I know what needs to be done needs to be done. So I will always do that. I will also, again, make sure that my number is available. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I really do appreciate. I'm actually blushing on this side. Thank you, ma'am.
General Rabbi, how can you be blushing? General Rabbi, you may continue.
Honorable Chair, thank you, ma'am. Honorable Chair, yes, as the National Commissioner indicated, our presentation will be dealt with by myself and General Dampane, the CFO. We will just go, General Dampane will deal with the first part of the presentation, that is dealing with the national estimates or the estimates of national expenditure, the background, the trends, the budgets, the figures, etc. And then we will move to the second part of the presentation, Honorable Chair, where I will deal with the outcomes and sub-outcomes of our strategic plan, the background to our plan, as well as the performance measures per financial program. As I think the committee is well aware of now, ma'am, is that there are five programs: administration, program two, visible policing, detectives, program three, four is crime intelligence, and five is protection and security services. Honorable Chair, with your permission, I will then hand over to General Dampane, the CFO, who will deal with the first part of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, the Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, all the generals in the meeting. Thank you, Chairperson. I am on slide 5 of the presentation. Just a bit of background. The ENE, according to the National Treasury Directives, referring to the 2021 amounts to be appropriated for both 28 police, is as follows. This is appropriate. We appropriate the expenditure allocation per program, appropriate the expenditure allocation per economic classification. We just wanted to highlight that on slide 5. Going to slide 6, Chairperson. The budget is compiled for 3 years, but revised annually. I'm on slide 6, General Rabbi. The budget is compiled for 3 years, but revised annually. On the 2021 MPEF, Chairperson, financial year 23-24 has been added. There are changes to the baseline. They are influenced by various factors, such as prioritization between departments, focused inflationary increase, as well as substantial budget reductions. On slide 7, Chairperson, we just wanted to indicate from the allocation letter that we received from Treasury as vote 28 police that the departmental baselines were as follows. When we started for 2021, we were allocated 108.2 billion for 2023. 112.6 billion for 23-24, 108.5 billion. However, baseline reductions were introduced. These reductions are over 30 billion. In the main, the compensation of employees for 2021, we have seen a reduction of 11.1 billion. For 22-23, 14.8 billion. And for 23-24, 9.7 billion was reduced from our baseline. Departmental agencies also, there was a reduction there of 3.9 million, 4.4 million as well as 4.7 million for 23-24. Goods and services as well, we have seen a reduction from our baseline with 673 million taken away for 21-22, 878 million for 22-23 as well as 1.5 billion for the outer year. Household in the main in relation to claims against the state, this will be your civil claims, 45 million is taken away from 21-22 with 53.5 million for 22-23 as well as 97.1 million for 23-24 reduced from our baseline. There was also a prioritization from compensation of employees to transfer to household in the main to deal with leave payouts on exit from subs, with 85 million for 2022 and 85.8 million for 2023 financial year and 88.4 million for 2324. The 2021 MTF allocations to the vote is as follows: 96.3 billion for 2021-22, 96.8 billion for 2022-23 financial year, and 97.083 billion for the outer year. In terms of slide 8, Chairperson, we just wanted to highlight the spending trends from 2017-18 to 2023-24. If you would notice our budget, we had a 4.8 average annual growth. For the new MTF, we are seeing a decrease of 0.8 or a minus of 0.8 average annual growth in this regard. In terms of slide number 9, Chairperson, this indicates allocation to financial programs. Financial programs reflect a broad purpose and function on which funds are expended. So in terms of the year-on-year increases, this slide indicates that for administration, which is program number one, we have seen an increase of 4.9% in relation to the allocation. For disability policing, which is program two, a decrease of 7.2%. That is an allocation from an allocation of 53.4 billion from previous financial year to 49.5 billion for this year and 49.8 billion for the next year, with 49.9 billion for the outer year. Detective services, which includes DPCI, there was an allocation of 19.6 billion for the previous financial year. For 21-22 financial year, a 19.5 billion allocation, which is a decline of 0.7%. For 22-23, 19.6 billion is allocated, which is a marginal increase of 0.6%. For 23-24, with a 19.7 billion allocation, which is an increase of 0.3%. Crime intelligence, which is program four, was allocated previously 4.2 billion. For 21-22, there is 4.1 billion allocated, which is a decrease of 2.1%. 22-23, 4.1 billion allocation, which is a small increase of 0.1%, with an allocation of 4.119 for 23-24, representing a small increase of 0.1%. Protection and security services was allocated 3.264 billion in the previous financial year. For 2021-22, there is an allocation of 3.232 billion, which represents a decrease of 1%, with an allocation of 3.241 billion for 2022-23, which is a small increase of 0.3%, with an allocation of 3.245 billion in the outer year, which is an increase of 0.1%. Total allocation for the vote, as I previously indicated, is a decrease of 3.2% for 21-22, with a small increase of 0.5% for the 22-23 financial year and 0.2% increase in the outer year. Slide number 10, Chairperson. This is now the budget for 2021. Weight of economic classification. If you will recall, compensation of employees takes the bulk of this allocation at 78.1%, with goods and services at 16.9%, and transfer payments at 1.4%, and capital payments at 3.6%. Next slide, Chairperson, is just unpacking of the economic classification. These particular items represent goods and services to pursue purposes and functions. In terms of the year-on-year increases, compensation of employees, you will realize that it has been decreased with 1.1% from previous financial year to 2021, with 876.147 billion that was allocated. For 21-22, it's 75.301 billion for 21-22. 22-23, 75.3 billion, and the outer year with a 75.297 billion. Goods and services, 19.219 billion was allocated. There is a substantial decrease in terms of the 21-22 financial year, with an allocation of 16.270 billion, with 16.737 for 22-23 and 16.8 billion for 23-24. Transfers and subsidies, 1.614 billion allocated, with 1.333 billion for 21-22, which is a decrease of 17.4% as well. For 22-23, 1.258 billion allocated. It continues with a decrease of 5.6%. For 23-24, an allocation of 1.5 1.267 billion with a marginal increase of 0.7%. Payment of capital assets comprises of buildings and other fixed structures as well as machinery and equipment. In relation to buildings and other fixed structures, last year there was a 497 million allocated, and for 21-22, 947 million has been allocated. This is an increase of 90.2%. Essentially, this is a baseline recovery as there was a reprioritization in the previous financial year from this particular item. For 22-23, 961 million is allocated, which is a marginal increase of 1.5%. For 23-24, 8 billion is allocated, which is an increase of 4.4%. Machinery and equipment, yes, this is in the main the procurement of vehicles. 2 billion was allocated in the previous financial year based on an increase of 20.1% with an allocation of 2.497 billion for 21-22. 22-23, 2.594 billion will be allocated, which represents an increase of 3.9%. For 23-24, 2.708 billion will be allocated, which is an increase of 3.9%. In terms of the next slide, we just wanted to unpack the composition of the compensation budget for 21-22. Essentially, a total of 75.301 billion has been allocated to this particular item. This comprises of the wage bill at 58.724 billion and cost of living salary adjustments, there is no provision. Pay progression at 1.5%, there is 681 million that we have put aside for this purpose. Allowances, which are your service allowance, night shifts, etc., there's a 2.265 billion that has been provided for. For overtime, normal overtime, there is 711 million that we have set aside for to deal with the local elections that are taking place later this year. We have made provision for with 200 million to ensure that we police those elections successfully. Rental and housing allowance, there is a provision of 2.986 billion, and for medical schemes, which is GEMS and CONMED, there is 9.734 billion that has been set aside. In total, for this year, for compensation of employees, we are having 75.301 billion that has been allocated in this regard. The next slide is just general remarks that we wanted to put to the committee that we will notice that personnel is the primary cost driver in the vote, police, and also drive direct operational expenditures. It consists of 78% of the vote. Operational expenditures are predominantly goods and services and machinery and equipment in order to perform these services. Essentially, there are three budget types, which is compensation budget, operational budget, as well as capital budget. And on slide 14, Chair, this are our spending focus for 21-22 up to 23-24. We will be focusing in terms of spending on the reduction in the compensation of employees that will require substitute resource allocation, reprioritization, as well as investment in technology. Gender-based violence still remains our focus. To this end, an additional emphasis on FCS units by allocating 1.272 billion for proactive as well as reactive response to these crimes. We will also sustain forensic services baseline allocation as increased in the 2021 financial year. We also will sustain the DPCI baseline allocation as recently increased. We will also focus on professionalizing the police service through skills development. We will continue to strengthen the criminal justice system by supporting the integrated criminal justice strategy. The department will also be investing in capital assets consisting of machinery and equipment, essentially transport assets as well as mobile police stations. One of the focus areas will be also on other critical items such as bulletproof firearms, uniform and munitions. These are all the items that we require to do our job. We will also continue to focus on capacitation of the existing POP unit and also through interventions and deployments in provinces. Next slide, Chairperson. To note, we indicate that departmental spending over the medium term will be in relation to the core programs with visible policing being allocated more than 51% of the weight the total vote in 2021 financial year. Program 3, which is detective services in terms of wage, is also a receiving a significant portion of more than 20%. Compensation of employees will remain the largest driver of spending, constituting 78% of the total budget for 21-22. Operational expenditure, including goods and services, transfer payments and payments for capital assets, comprising of 22% of the total budget in 21-22. Therefore, of importance, we must note the growth rate for the vote from 2021 to 2023-24 is minus 0.8% due to substantial budget reductions, especially on compensation of employees. The next presentation, Chair, with your permission, I'll hand over to General Ravi to give an overview of outcomes and sub-outcomes for 2020 to 2025 in terms of our 2021 annual performance plan. Thank you, Chairperson.
General Ravi?
Honourable Chair, thank you. Just to give some of the committee background on the plan itself, firstly, the on slide 17, a reflection on the specific key, five key drivers within our strategic plan that informs the development of our plan. And on the first area, we have underpinning and stumping the authority of the state in the thorough and responsive investigation of crime, intelligence-led policing, a collaborative and consultative approach to policing, the four focus area, and then those four, Honourable Chair, are outward-looking priority areas, and then an inward-looking one is the professional and capable SAPs. I'm not going to go into the detail on the sides because that will be reflected in our slides further down in the presentation. As far as the background is concerned, Honourable Chair, there's a couple of factors that we had to take into consideration in developing our plan, annual performance plan for 21-22. First of all is the consideration of the medium-term strategic framework of government 2019-24. That is the apex plan of government, and we are basically required to include those specific commitments and indicators in our annual performance plan. Honourable Chair, you will note that in our presentation, there are specific icons that we use, and the one in red that illustrates the link to the MTSF, where we indicate to the committee that this specific indicator emanates from the medium-term strategic framework, and it is then included in our plan. We have been criticized about the number of indicators. We've managed to bring it down, but it's not an easy task due to the diversity of the functions in the organization, but we are currently standing at 93 performance indicators that we are monitoring in our annual performance plan. We also had to take in consideration the advice by both National Treasury and DPME that there needs to be a level of consistency in our performance measures over the MTSF period for the purpose of reporting midterm and end term, making sure that we are measuring the same type of indicators. And then also, Honourable Chair, what that complicated the exercise a bit was the adjustment that we had to do to our targets due to COVID-19 or the impact of COVID-19. Now, COVID-19 created a situation that is abnormal, so we have to consider the impact of COVID-19, also taking into account it is something that may pass over the next couple of years, hopefully within this year, and cutting that specific impact on the achievement of targets. We also went through quite an extensive consultation process. It was difficult with COVID-19 restrictions, but we managed to do it virtually, and we submitted our first draft of the APP, and then we also submitted the final draft that was tabled in Parliament, which you, the committee is aware of. Now, as far as the performance measures and budget allocation per financial program is concerned, Honourable Chair, I will first deal with Program 1, Administration. And just a brief breakdown of the budget allocation in that, I will specifically focus on the right-hand side, the top right column, the allocation that was made in the 21-22 financial year for this program amounts to 19.9 billion. It is slightly higher, you will note, than the previous financial year, of which 19.7 billion is incorporated in corporate services, 84 million for management, and 62 million for the ministry. the corporate services, just to indicate where the spending focus is on human resource development, there's a 2.1 billion allocation TMS, 3.1 billion allocation supply chain management, 4.2 billion. That includes 947 million for capital building projects. And then within the human resource management environment, 1.9 billion, financial services 1.1, and corporate support 1.2. In terms of the specific indicators, Honorable Chair, what I just briefly explained, the layout of the slides on the left-hand side in the dark blue block, you will note the specific output or focus areas. And then next to that is the specific indicator that we have included in our APP. And then to the right, Honorable Chair, I will focus there on the targets specifically set for 21-22. The rest are available, and as you indicated, that has been distributed. Now, the first focus area here is improving our regulation of firearms, focusing on the losses of SAPS owned firearm, reducing that in with a further 10% in the 21-22 financial year as indicated. Our output of improving access to policing services. There are two indicators. The first one talks to the construction of new police stations. There are, in terms of both these indicators, there are dependencies on the first one on the National Department of Public Works, because they are responsible for the construction, and then your contracts in terms of the mobile contact points. We are planning a further three new police stations in the 22-22 financial year, followed by 7 and 8 in the following years in the MTF period. Mobile contact points, we are planning an additional 15 in 21-22, with 15 and 10 in the outer years of the MTF. Then the modernization of our network. This is a TMS indicators. There are two. The first area is our digital radio communication infrastructure sites, where we are targeting the modernization or upgrade of 4 high sites. There is a dependency on CETA, but we have taken this into consideration in our planning processes. The same applies to the next one, making sure that the targets that we are setting is achievable with the, taking into consideration the constraints that are mentioned there. As far as our wide area network is concerned, that is linked to the national network communication infrastructure sites, we are targeting 90 WAN sites for the current 21-22 financial year, 50 and 80 in the outer years of the MTF. Then our training indicators, Honorable Chair, you will note that there's a little red block illustrating or containing an icon and then GBV NSP. This is just an indication to the committee that these specific indicators are then linked to the Gender-Based Violence and Femicide National Strategic Plan. And there we have included the specific priorities that are in the National Strategic Plan. Now, there are three prioritized training areas: crime prevention, crime committed against women and children, and crime investigation. And we are targeting 97% of the planned learners, or the numbers that we are going to train in the upcoming year, to be declared competent. The same applies to our specialized capabilities, where we have three priority areas, that is public order policing, forensic science, crime intelligence, and cybercrime. My apologies, there's 4, not 3. And there we're also targeting 97% of those in those specific specialized capability training, 97% of the people learners trained needs to be declared competent. In our ethics and integrity, Honorable Chair, we have an annual plan for ethics and integrity, where there are specific targets to be achieved in each one of the quarters. For instance, the financial disclosures, the certificates for remunerative work, etc. And our target in that regard is that 100% of those specific commitments need to be achieved in the financial year. IPIT-related investigations. The 90% of the IPIT-related investigations recommendations needs to be finalized within 60 calendar days. That is in line with the targets that we set in the previous financial years. Then, as far as sound financial management is concerned, Honorable Chair, we maintain a zero tolerance toward the incidence of unauthorized expenditure. There is an example, Chair, where we link the MTSF. You will note the little red block with the wording MTSF 1924. That indicates that this specific indicator is linked to indicators within broader government's MTSF. Then there are a couple of indicators, Honourable Chair, where we had to adjust our targets in terms of sound financial management. And you will note the first one is the decrease in the number of incidents of confirmed irregular expenditure, where we were initially targeting 5%. There was a directive from DPSA regarding these specific indicators where they gave specific targets to be included by the respective departments. And you will note, Chair, that we have aligned. So our target for irregular expenditure decrease is now 67.5% in line with the DPSA directives. The same applies to the number of incidents of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There we initially targeted 5% reduction. We had to adjust it to 70%, 80% and 90% in the outer years of the MTF. So that adjustment has been done in line, as I indicated, with the DPSA directive. Then the regulatory compliance and performance management, our audits. We are targeting all the audits that will be approved in terms of the audit plan for SAPS. All those audits needs to be conducted in the financial year. Forensic audits, we had 8 in the previous financial year. So those that are being targeted in the upcoming audit, the current financial year, needs to be addressed. Inspections, we are targeting 231. That is in terms of our approved inspection plan for inspectorate. So all of those 231 identified inspections need to be done in the current financial year. And then, Chair, we have developed a draft corporate governance framework for South African Police Service, and our commitment is that this must be fully developed and implemented by the 31st of March 2022. Honourable Chair, that concludes the background information and specific performance measures that are associated with Program 1. Ma'am, I assume I need to stop there and then allow for discussions on Program 1.
Honourable members, are you ready for discussions on Program 1? Or could I go to Program 2? Honourable members, can you hear me?
Yes, Chair, I've got my hand up.
Whatfield, Honourable Whatfield.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's just one very quick question. If we could get an indication of those. Yes, Chair.
Honourable Whatfield, do we want to take questions now on Program 1?
That's up to you, Chair. I do have questions.
All right. Honourable Mapatsu.
Honourable Chair, I was saying because we received the documents in time, I thought we would have made our notes and then they finish the presentation, then we go face by face. Program
Honourable
1,
members,
Program 2.
Yes. Honourable members, could you hold your questions? Let us do the presentations, and then when I take the questions, I will go through Program 1, Program 2 very systematically. So can you just hold your questions and do the next presentation? And then I will do the questions in terms of Program 1 and then Program 2 and like that. So colleagues, can then go to Program 2, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will then continue with Program 2, that is visible policing. Program 2, in terms of the specific budget allocations, Honourable Chair, you will note that there's a decrease that was also highlighted by General Dampane. The total allocation amounts to 49.5 billion, of which the bigger portion is with crime prevention, 38.2 billion, border security, 2.2. Specialized interventions, that includes our special task force, the National Intervention Unit, etc. There we have an allocation of 4.5 billion, and then facilities 4.5 billion. Then just a breakdown in terms of the specific elements of the sub-programs. If you look at crime prevention, that includes 34.9 billion on crime prevention specifically, 1.1 billion on rail police, 891 million for K9, mounted police 145 million, youth gender-based violence, this is only the preventative and project portion, 30 million, flying squad 1.1 billion, detained persons 236 million, etc. And then border security, that includes ports of entry, that 2.2 billion. Specialized interventions, as breakdown is special task force, a total allocation of 78 million. National intervention unit 309 million. TRTs 448 million and public order policing 2.6 billion. And then also to provide for municipal services a total of 1.3 billion that, and leases 1.5 billion and accommodation charges for state-owned facilities a total of 1.6 billion. In terms of the respective performance indicators, Honourable Chair, we are, the first focus area is the improved regulation of firearms. There we are focusing on the recovery, first of all, of lost, stolen and illegal firearms, where we're targeting a 1% increase in terms of recoveries. The number of identified lost SAPS-owned firearms recovered, targeting a 10% increase to 593. And then the application of firearm licenses, the CFR, where we, our target is that 90% of the firearm licenses need to be finalized within 120 working days. The next focus area, this is a link to the GBV National Strategic Plan about the availability of drugs. There we are focusing on the closure of illegal, identified illegal liquor outlets, where we are targeting 100% in the total MTF period of those to be closed. The reduction in reported contact crimes is linked to the MTSF. We are targeting a reduction of 7.48% over the MTF period. I would say that is in line with the commitment that was made by the president in terms of a 50% rate reduction in reported contact crime. And then also the sub-indicator of that is the percentage reduction in contact crime at our top 30 high crime stations, where we are targeting a 7.42% reduction. Escapes, we are targeting a 2% reduction to 526, as it is indicated, and then our recovery for stolen and robbed vehicles, we're maintaining that at 25,352. Linked to the GBV plan, our percentage of police stations that are rendering a victim-friendly service, all 100% of our police stations, 1,156, must render a victim-friendly service to specifically your victims of gender-based violence. Then we are targeting specific categories of crime. Honourable Chair will note that these next two indicators, specifically against violence against women and violence against children, this is reflected in medium-term strategic framework of government as well as the GBV National Strategic Plan, where we are targeting a 6.9% reduction in contact crimes against women and a 6.73% reduction in contact crimes against children. Community partnerships, we are targeting 99.57% of our police stations that must have a fully functional community police forums. There are only three police stations that are excluded because they are very sparsely populated and it's not practical to have a CPF in that specific environment. Provinces, there are three main interventions in terms of police visibility. The first one is our community in blue concept. We had targeted three provinces in this financial year, or the previous financial year. We are targeting another six provinces in the 21-22 financial year. Then the provinces where we are implementing the traditional policing concept, we are rolling out to another province in 21-22. And the last one is the number of cities and towns where we have implemented the Safer City framework. We have piloted it at 10 pilot cities in the 2021 financial year. We are targeting another 10 in the 21-22 financial year. Chair, may I continue?
Yeah. You are You are struggling.
Okay, Chair, there's a dependency in terms of this specific indicator, as it is a multidisciplinary approach interdepartmental. There are a couple of other departments involved as well as our local municipalities, but as indicated, we are targeting another 10 cities in the upcoming financial year. The next couple of indicators talks to the management of specialized interventions, public order policing, etc., as well as our border control. Now, these indicators, Honorable Chair, are driven by incidents that takes place in the financial year, and our commitment as far as all of those are concerned is that we will respond to 100% of these incidents. The first category of incidents is peaceful crowd management incidents, where we have to respond to all incidents where the deployment of public order policing is required. The same applies to the unrest crowd management incidents, where 100% of the requests received for the deployment of public order policing capabilities need to be responded to. The deployment of our higher risk capabilities, in specific as far as incidents of a security nature is concerned, where specific specialized interventions are required, we are also committing that 100% of such a request received will be responded to by our specialized intervention capabilities. Illegal mining linked to the medium-term strategic framework. Here we are committing to address 100% of the request received to address, this is specifically your high-risk request in terms of tackling your reduce your illegal mining as it has been identified by the relevant stakeholders. Border security, here we have two categories, wanted persons and circulated stolen and robbed vehicles that are identified on our crime-related systems, the movement control system and the enhanced movement control system. So 100% of those hits that are identified in terms of wanted persons and circulated stolen and robbed vehicles must be responded to at our ports of entry. Then we are looking at the profiling of cargo in terms of land, sea, and air ports. There we are also committing that 100% of the profiled vehicles, the profiled containers, and the profiled cargo consignments at these three types of ports of entries where these have been profiled, the necessary searching will take place in terms of preventing illegal facilitation of persons, the contraband and illicit goods. So that commitment remains at 100% at our ports of entry. Honorable Chair, that is the rundown of the specific indicators that are also included in Program 2. Those have been scheduled for today, ma'am. I assume I can stop here and then allow for you to facilitate the process further. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
You can go ahead with Program 3.
Oh, okay. Honorable Chair, thank you. I assume that, okay, then I will do all the programs. Program 3, Detective Service, in terms of the allocation for the 21-22 financial year, the total is 19.5 billion, with 13.3 going to crime investigation, 2.6 to the Criminal Record Center, 1.4 to the Forensic Science Laboratory, and just over 2 billion to specialized investigations. Now, the crime investigation portion, the first sub-program, that includes crime detection, the detective service with 10.7 billion allocation, vehicle theft units, 535 million, stock theft units, 617 million, and family violence and child protection units, 1.1 billion. There's also continued focus on forensic services, taking into account the reprioritization that took place in the previous financial year towards the previously funded by CJS funding. The specialized investigations, DPCI, there's a significant resourcing of DPCI. And effective from 2016-17, Treasury has earmarked specific budget allocation for this purpose, and it has been ring-fenced accordingly. Reducing levels of contact crime, this is in terms of our first commitment. What we are measuring, Honorable Chair, will be the percentage increase in our detection rate for contact crime, as well as the subcategory of the 30 contact crime weight stations. There we are targeting a 55.77% detection rate for contact crime, as well as a 40% detection rate for contact crime at the high crime weight stations. We are also targeting outstanding cases that's more older than 3 years, specifically relating to contact crime. And the intention is to down manage the outstanding cases with 14.97%. The outstanding wanteds at the 30 high crime weight stations, we are targeting 10.25% reduction in identified wanted persons at the high crime weight stations. Then linked to the GBV National Strategic Plan, there are two indicators. The first one is the increase in the detection rate for crimes against women, and a similar indicator for detection rate for crimes against children. For women, we are targeting a 75.25% detection rate, and for children, a 70.15% detection rate. Identified drug syndicates neutralized with arrest. This is in response to the reduction of crime syndicates. There we are targeting that 60% of those syndicates identified in year needs to be neutralized with arrest. On the same topic, the increase in the number of arrests for dealing in illicit drugs, we continue to target a 5% increase in the number of arrests for dealing in illicit drugs. And then the reduction of organized crime, criminal groups and gangs. Honorable Chair, yeah, I just need to mention the ones that I'm dealing with now, the couple of indicators that talks to syndicates, etc., are the ones that will be dealt with by the detective service, the SAPS detective service. There's a separate number of indicators on that will be dealt with by DPCI, which I will also highlight. So the reduction of organized criminal groups and gangs, this is there. We are also targeting that 60% of those gangs and groups that has been identified needs to be neutralized with arrest. The enhancing our DNA database, we are targeting 70% of our Schedule 8 arrested offenses. We have to take buccal samples for the purpose of enhancing the data available on the DNA database. Then we have a group of indicators, Chair, that talks to the utilization of forensic leads. We have identified different types of leads. For instance, in the first one, your person-to-person DNA investigative leads. And our target is to down manage those outstanding leads with 70% in the financial year, 5.8% down management of outstanding crime-to-crime DNA investigative leads, 6.7% reduction in outstanding fingerprint investigative leads, and a 13.3% reduction in outstanding IBIS investigative leads. Trial-ready case dockets, now we are moving to the activities of the DPCI. The first one, number two, is the trial-ready case dockets for serious corruption in the public sector. That is focusing on serious corruption in the public and private sector. They are targeting a 65% trial-ready rate, a 65% trial-ready rate also for dockets of serious corruption within the private sector, and the same for serious corruption within the JCPS cluster. The registered projects on serious organized crime projects, they are targeting a 72% closure of those projects in year. And then linked to the MTSF, the identification and dismantling of clandestine laboratories, with arrest, targeting 90% of those identified to be dismantled by means of arrest. The percentage trial-ready case dockets, this is relating to commercial crime. For serious commercial crime, a target is set at 65%, and the successful investigation of serious cyber-related support case files linked to the MTSF commitment, the target is 65% of those cyber-related support files to be successfully investigated within 90 calendar days. Moving to the activities of the Criminal Record and Forensic Science Laboratory, the first couple of indicators, Honorable Chair, talks to the activities of the Criminal Record Center. There we are committing that the updating of of result of trials for persons found guilty to be processed, 95% of those to be processed within 20 calendar days. The result of trial updates for not guilty verdicts, 95% of those to be processed within 20 calendar days. And then the generating of original previous conviction reports, 95% of the requests received to be processed and finalized within 15 calendar days. The laboratories, the percentage of routine case exhibits finalized, our target remains at 75% to be finalized within 35 calendar days. The non-routine case exhibits, just the difference between the two, Honorable Chair, routine case exhibits is where you receive your, where they receive single exhibit for the specific cases, and when non-routine includes a bulk or multiple exhibits on a specific case. So in terms of the non-routine case exhibits, are targeting 70% within 113 calendar days, and then the percentage of case exhibits not yet finalized with index or exceeding the prescribed time frame. This is basically the backlog. We are targeting a backlog that should not exceed 10% as far as the forensic services is concerned, and exhibits that include your exhibits. Your enhanced processing, continuing with the percentage of ballistic intelligence case exhibits, we are targeting 95% of those exhibits to be processed within 35 calendar days. DNA intelligence case exhibits, Honorable Chair, we are targeting 80% to be finalized within 90 calendar days. Honorable Chair, then moving to Program 4, Crime Intelligence. If we look just at the breakdown of the budget allocation to Crime Intelligence, you will note it is slightly lower, 4.1 billion compared to 4.2 billion in the previous financial year, with 1.6 billion going to Crime Intelligence operations and 2.4 billion going to intelligence and information management. Now, in this specific program, the largest portion goes to compensation, and this also includes operational cost on fuel, fleet maintenance, travel, and a subsistence allowance. And it's just important to note that the Secret Service account is not part of this specific vote, vote 28 of police. Now, the areas that we will be monitoring on the crime intelligence front within Program 4, the first area talks to network operations. Now, these network operations are conducted to infiltrate, penetrate criminal groupings and to collect intelligence on priority threats. And we are targeting that 60.85% of the network operations, a total of 682, of which 415 to be find successfully terminated in the 21-22 financial year. Honorable Chair, then we have six indicators that talks to the utilization of intelligence reports, and we are targeting the specific operationalization of these reports at the various organizational levels. At district level, in terms of proactive intelligence, that's for your preventative measures, 70% utilization at district level, 80% utilization at provincial level, and a 90% utilization at national level. Looking at the reactive intelligence report for your investigative and similar purposes, the utilization or operationalization of these reports at the various levels. District levels, we are targeting 70%, provincial 80%, and national level 90%. The next couple of indicators talks to our security risk and vetting assessments that are being conducted in SAPS. Now, in the upcoming financial year, we are targeting a total of 577 security clearances to be finalized. The ICT security assessments finalized in SAPS in terms of the plan, 50% of those, the commitment is 1,185 to be conducted in the financial year or in year. And the percentage of overt mandatory physical security assessments, we are targeting 156 or 100% of those that are planned within the financial year, as I said, totaling to 156. Then the mutual assistance and cooperation between SAPS and other national international law enforcement agencies, there are two indicators that specifically talks to requests received from Interpol. The first one is cross-border operation requests from Interpol. We are committing to respond to 100% of those requests received. And the second category of request is in relation to the arrest of identified transnational crime suspects that needs to be facilitated. And there we are also committing to 100% of attend to 100% of the requests that are received. The last financial program, Honorable Chair, includes Program 5, Protection and Security Services. Now, this allocation is slightly lower than its 3.232 billion compared to 3.264 billion in the previous financial year, with 1.7 billion going to VIP protection services, 1.1 to static protection, 89 million to the government security regulator, and 279 million to operational support. Now, this specific program provides protection services of the president, deputy president, former president, spouses, and identified
transit. Honorable members, please note that this program also includes local and foreign dignitaries. We've received many questions on this, and honorable members, I will take enough time for questions. So please do not think that we are in a rush. We have sufficient time. I'll take it program by program to take sufficient questions. Sorry for interruption. You may continue, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As you indicated just now, the static mobile security provides for protection of other local and foreign dignitaries and places in which all dignitaries, including persons related to the president and the deputy president, are present. And then compensation is a prominent element of this specific allocation. And there's also significant overtime cost. Your travel and subsistence costs associated with this program is also significant. Honorable Chair, the indicators in this environment is split between the sub-program protection and security services and then the presidential protection component. And first of all, it talks to the security breaches during in-transit protection. There we are targeting zero security breaches as far as in-transit and static protection is concerned. And then the number of security breaches at identified government installations and VIP residences, there we are also targeting zero security breaches. And then as far as the physical security assessment is concerned, at identified buildings, government buildings and strategic installations, a total of 122 strategic installations needs to be audited in the current financial year, as well as a total of 209 national key points. And this will be dealt with by the protection and security capability. Security services capability, and then moving to presidential protection, very similar indicators, the security breaches during physical protection. There we are targeting zero security breaches, and then security breaches at identified government installations. There we are also targeting zero security breaches. And then the presidential protection capability needs to conduct evaluations at a total of 10 national key points. Honorable Chair, that concludes the presentation that includes all five programs I've mentioned, and I've taken you through the specific indicators that we will be monitoring and reporting on, as well as the budget allocations in respect of these financial programs. Honorable Chair, thank you for the opportunity, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Could we have General Sotole, if there's any comments you wish to make?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think, Chair, for now, there's very little to add, reminding the committee that we've gone on to a serious reprioritization exercise, because it won't help us to complain about a budget cut, but rather to adjust and align so that we still make sure that policing continues. For that, we changing our investment into technology, and we also then focusing on the force multiplier, which is enhancing, that is the reservist, so that we are able to continue with the normal policing. We've also introduced the policing nomics, which is the new concept where we shaping policing in such a manner that it supports the economy to grow. Otherwise, from here, Chair, we'll be guided by the questions from the honourable members, if there's any. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Sotole. Honourable members, I take program one. Please, honourable members, you have sufficient time so we can really interrogate and ask all the questions which you would like to ask. I've noted Honourable Whitfield and then Honourable Groenewald. Those are the hands I have up for now. Honourable Whitfield, Groenewald, and then Shembeni. Honourable Whitfield, you may start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. With respect to Program 1, just one question. In terms of new police station builds over the medium term, can we get an indication in this meeting which police stations have been identified in the upcoming financial year? In particular, I'm interested as to whether the long-awaited development of the Bethelsdorp police station is on the agenda. So if we could just get an indication as to which police stations or which sites have been identified for development so that we can also provide proper oversight over the coming months and years to make sure that these projects are completed. Then, Chairperson, with respect, so that's just program one then, Chair. Should I wait until the other programs? Are you going to go
yes.
program by program? Okay.
Yes, please, Honourable Whitfield. I'll take another round of questions for program one. As I said, I'm not in a rush. Remember, we were supposed to do 1, 2, and 3 today, and then tomorrow we were supposed to continue. So I'm taking sufficient questions. We really have to interrogate these budgets today and tomorrow. Honorable Groenewald, Shembeni, and I had Meshu, but his hand has disappeared. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to start to say that if I look at Program 1 and we look at the budget, I am one of the people who always say that we must ensure that when it comes to compensation of our members in the police services, we must ensure that it is adequate, that it is market-related, because we have people who work very hard. But, Chair, I don't think it is acceptable that we have 78% of our budget has been allocated to compensation. That's too high. And as far as the structure of the police is concerned, we will have to look into the matter. We cannot continue with 78% of the budget according to Program 1 for compensation. Mentioning the construction and reconstruction of the restructuring, let me say that, Chair, the Commissioner, when he started, he referred to the restructuring, and my question will go to the Commissioner. Normally, when there's some restructuring in the police services, and appointments, the portfolio committee is also part of the information of that prior to the execution of the restructuring. I can't remember that we were involved, no, well, not say involved, but we were informed of these possible restructuring. So I would just like to know when did this really happen? And why not not in consultation, but with prior information to the portfolio committee? Chairperson, I'm coming to program one, slide 24, and it's about the output of the improved regulation of firearms. My question is this, the firearm tracking system is not operational. Now, we want to ensure that the number of subs-owned firearms that was reported as stolen or lost be reduced and everything. Now my question is, if we don't have a firearm tracking system, how can we ensure that the integrity of the figures of lost or stolen firearms in the police services are correct? And what are they doing at the moment with no RTS? Further, Chairperson, my last question, and there are many we can ask, but let's limit it. It's a simple question on the municipal services. It's slide 33. I want to know whether there is any arrear payment to municipal services by police services, and if so, what amount? Because we have a problem on local government level where state departments, they do not pay their municipal services, but I want to know whether the police services is up to date with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Shembeni, the Blanche, and then Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the National Commissioner for the presentation. And then I will ask a few questions about the firearm tracing system that is being offline. How does such instability affect the tracing of the firearms? Secondly, with the progress made, or what progress have been made by the department in finalizing firearm license applications since the committee's previous engagement on the 16th of February 2021. Thirdly, I think this question I'll be asking it for a second time now about the ICDMS, the Integrity Case Docket Management System. Can the department indicate to us the number of police stations in which the ICDMS has been implemented and it's being used? And then as at the end of 2020 and 2021 financial year, and what is the number of the stations that are still outstanding? Now, will the SAPS recent inclusion in the Connect South Africa project expedite the rollout of the ICDMS? Thank you, Chairperson. I still have some more questions. I think if you can give us another time, and then I'll add. Or lastly, and importantly, is what is the current state of training academies in terms of the infrastructure and trainers in South Africa? Thank you.
Honorable Shembeni, would you like to ask your questions? Because we all have sufficient time now to ask questions.
Yes, last two more questions. What is the current compliance level for the submission of financial disclosures, that SAPS certificate, on remuneration work outside the department? What steps are taken against delinquent employees, especially in the department's senior management structures? Is the attendance of ethics and integrity advocacy and awareness programs mandatory to all the staff? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The Blanche, and then Meshu.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I want to start with the focus areas of the National Development Plan. And I haven't seen a lot in this presentation about that, and maybe we can just get more clarity on that. Strengthening the criminal justice system, make the police service more professional, demilitarize the police, build safety using an integrated approach and build community participation in safety. Chairperson, in the SONA, the state president acknowledged that the key to South Africa's recovery is tackling crime. Now, it was quite interesting for me to see that in the budget, visible policing, and I know that we were not there yet, but visible policing, the biggest budget cut happened in their environment, to the extent that numbers are going to decrease to 181,344 to 162,945, etc. So,
my apologies, Honorable de Blanche. Could you please remove the presentation?
I can't remove a chairperson. It's
not you, Honorable de Blanche. Thank you. I just wanted to see your face. Now I can see your face.
Thank you, chairperson. I just wanted to show you that I'm still alive and well. May I go ahead, chairperson?
Alive and well and handsome.
Thank you so much.
You can continue.
Thank you, chairperson. As I said, the numbers are going down. Visible policing are experiencing or going to feel the biggest budget cut. Police stations are not built. Chairperson, you know, to build 2 police stations, 3 police stations, 7 police stations, we are saying we need to take the police to the community. How are we going to do that? And there's also, you know, a budget implication, you know, for vehicles and stuff like that. Yeah. So how are we going to do it, chairperson? I want to get some clarity on that. How are we going to do that? Chairperson, then, what is going to be done to strengthen the firearm register? How are we going to do that? I haven't seen a lot in here. So, chairperson, that is just general remarks that I have at the moment. There is a significant shift away from core service delivery programs of the department, and it is largely attributed to the decrease in personnel expenditure. Chairperson, maybe also the last thing that I want to say, we hear about, you know, new developments that is quite interesting. The friendly city, all that stuff. Maybe we need an explanation about that and how that is going to be rolled out. Thank you, chairperson, for now.
Thank you, Honorable de Blanche. Deputy Minister, you're welcome. I've noticed that the Deputy Minister has joined us. I'll take the last question and then I'll give you a chance, Deputy Minister, if you so wish. Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Over the years, members of the Police Committee have been complaining about a heavy top-down structure at the head office. And when we see that 78% of the budget goes to compensation, one can easily conclude that the concerns that members have been raising over the years, that our headquarters appears to be overstaffed, and monies that could be allocated to other portfolios such as visible policing is not happening. As my colleague said, it is a great concern to look at, even though we are not there yet, but at the budget reduction in visible policing, while compensation still remains this high. If 78% of the budget that goes to compensation was resulting in crime reduction, one could say maybe we can justify that. But crime, the perception and experience that we have on the ground is that car crime is not going down. Crime is not stabilized. The crime is increasing. Even though facts and figures sometimes would not agree with that. But the experience that people have on the ground is that issues of crime, issues of domestic violence are increasing. And yet so much of the budget is going to compensation. So my simple question on this one is, has the police taken into consideration the problem and concerns that members of the Committee of Police were raising over the years, that our police department is top-down heavy when it comes to administration? And secondly, people who don't feel safe prefer to have a firearm to defend themselves. Now, there are a number of people who are complaining that the time it takes for their application to renew their firearm licenses indicates or create a perception that the state does not want citizens who want to have their own protection because they don't feel safe and they cannot afford even private security companies, but they want to have a firearm to ensure that they are safe, becomes difficult for them for their licenses to be renewed speedily. There are people who say they've been waiting for their license, firearm license, to be renewed for 12 months. Even some say 2 years they've been waiting. So I would want to know, where is the problem? Is the perception that it is an indirect way of saying we don't want you to be to have a firearm, correct or not? And if it is not correct, why is it taking a year to 2 years for people's firearms licenses to be renewed? Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start by appreciating the presentation by the department, and also appreciate the fact that at least there is a slight improvement on the side of the department on many programs that have been presented today. Chairperson, I just want to find out from the department, because there is this information that out of 4,000 gender-based violence and femicide cases, only 130 are attended to. So I just want to check with the department what could be the challenge on the backlog, and if there are indeed the information is true, what could be done, or there's any mechanism from the department to fast track this backlog on the cases of gender-based violence. The second issue, Chairperson, that I want to check with the department is on the new police station. I just want to find out with the department on the status of Makapanstad and Khamweka police station in the Northwest Province. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mapatsu, can you just wait a minute? I'll just thank the Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister, you can just say one word and then we can continue, and then you can come in later again. Deputy Minister, we received your apology that you were in another cluster meeting.
Yes, indeed, Chair, we are attending a cabinet a committee on JCPS, but we have just finished now. That's why I've joined, and would morning to you and the members of the committee, National Commissioner and the team. Good morning. I don't think I must say more except to appreciate that we have been accepted into the platform, and we'll listen and follow the deliberations. And obviously, if the meeting goes beyond 1 o'clock, I will request to be excused at 1, because we must go to the forensic laboratory here in Cape Town. But thank you very much, Chair, for allowing us.
Thank you very much, Tim, and all success with your work. I know that DM, we have put tremendous strain on you. And DM, many times it's because you are so extremely helpful and very patient with the members. The chairperson is also on your neck all the time. So DM, I would also like to formally thank you for your cooperation with the members. The members are always very delighted once they have interacted with you, because you are always assisting the members. But DM, before you become too happy, General Steyn is much better than you. So don't become too complacent. You still have to beat General Steyn's record.
Okay, thank you for warm words. Thank you.
Honorable Mapatso.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I must appreciate the presentation, Chair. According to me, having listened to the presentations, I have observed that most of the things that we have been raising in the portfolio committee are being taken into consideration in this budget and in the APPs. And I'm also happy that things that the president has spoken about and that we have raised seriously as the portfolio committee have been taken into consideration, and they are part of the plan. If you look at the issue of the TPV, outcry, and the president declared it as a pandemic. The way it is presented here, I'm very happy that at least it has been uplifted. Not that the priority is mainly the social development, but because we're working together, I've realized that the police have got a plan now on how to deal, and they've got targets. So from my side, it's just to observe and hold the executive accountable and monitor these programs that they have given us. But one thing that has been worrying me, Chair, is that are we not going to see the same thing of the qualification? That much as we have got good programs, but systems, I know that they spoke about corruption and how to deal with it and filling of the vacant post. But the issue that has been worrying me is the issue of a continuous, every financial year, you have qualification. So the good work that you are doing, it's going to be clouded by the outcome if of the qualification. So I'm not sure how is your internal audit
assisting in making sure that you deal with this qualifications. I'm not sure, Chair, whether the DNA is in the other program, or is still in the same program. Then, hence, I'm saying, Chair, that you see things that you have been complaining about, and the society has been complaining about. They are now being taken up, and there's a serious program by the police. I hope they will stick to their plans and not drop the ball. Because once we get these things correct, all the things that we have been complaining about and other people that have been complaining about, they are here in the plan. For me, really, Chair, from my side, I have read this presentation, and I'm happy because they are program-driven. So I will just observe and monitor the implementation of regular meetings to call the department to come and account. We think here you're not moving very fast, you are moving very slow. But otherwise, the presentation, Honorable Chairperson, it's a good presentation. It addresses issues that has been raised by the president in the SONA. It has been addressing issues that we have as the portfolio committee raising, and that is why we're also going on an oversight visit, just to see that whether this thing that are here, they corroborate with what we will be seeing when we visit there, those departments. Thank you, Chairperson.
Shembeni and Sir Blanche, are those old hands, or do you like to come in now? Honorable Shembeni?
I think it's the old hand, Chairperson. I'll lower it down. I'll come back later.
Okay. Honorable Sir Blanche, are those old hands or new hands?
My own hand is a bit old, but this is a new hand. Thank you.
Okay, you can come in, Honorable Sir Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, in the previous performance of the department, there was a steady decline in performance. And I was just wondering what the department is going to do now with a lesser budget, less personnel to up their performance. If they can just maybe say something about that. Chairperson, then there was suspended intake of trainees in the previous financial year, and I want clarity on that. Are they going to start training again, and if so, how many do they plan to train? Chairperson, and then during December, a number of police reservists, they were permanently employed, and apparently they are in the colleges now. My question is, how were they employed without being trained and being found to be competent as members of the police service? And what is the rationale around that? Chairperson, okay, I touched on the new police stations, but it's also about the upgrading of police stations. And I was just wondering whether they can also inform us about their plans in that regard. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable de Blanche. Honorable Meshu, would you still like to come in?
No, Chairperson. Thank you.
Good. General Fatole, and then your team, you can allocate your members to respond. Honorable Deputy Minister, would you like to come in, or could I start with General Fatole?
No, no, allow General Stone and the team to respond, because it will be unfair for me to try and behave like I heard what was said while I just joined now.
Agreed, agreed, Deputy Minister. I'm just respecting you and your position. So, Deputy Minister, please don't feel offended. General Satole, you can allocate members of your team as well.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We would first like to express our appreciation to the Honorable Members for the constructive questions which they put forward. As usual, Chair, I will take the strategic related questions. Then the second row will ask for the permission of the Chair that the NCs take the floor and respond to environmental-based questions. And certain questions, as the members ask, they need to be responded to by the specific divisional commissioners. So we will follow that order. Questions that we shall not have answered, which I think could be very few, are those that we can then request to respond to in writing, which we would then forward to the portfolio committee. The first question that I wanted to take, Chair, is the one on new police stations. Just to, I think supply chain is going to provide the list as requested by the members. What I just wanted to highlight to the members is that there's two strategies. The natural fact is three. The first one is a capital project strategy, where we have a long-term plan of building police stations, which goes on a priority list on an annual basis. Then we then have the rapid service delivery access strategy. I think in the special developments at the present moment do not allow us to focus 100% on the capital project strategy, the normal building of police stations. I think the special development has gone on a rapid mode, and the emergence of new areas, especially the spreading of the spreading of informal settlements, has actually gone on a mode of such a nature that we needed a quick response. Otherwise, said communities would then be sitting without access to service delivery. In this particular strategy, we also then include the satellite and as well as the mobile police station. But we've got a new trend that we're experiencing, which is the online relocation of the communities. I think there again, there's a new trend of communities relocating to online, and criminals have realized that they also then follow them, and they've designed various modus operandi to expose them there as victims. We are now also looking at an online service delivery access process in which we should then take care of these communities. But the online part works more on the technology side, which means then that in terms of availing service delivery access infrastructure, then we also need to be looking at technology. The second question, Chair, that I wanted to talk to is the one of the top heavy structure, and also responding to the 78% and including the briefing of the portfolio committee. Maybe I need then to start with the briefing of the portfolio committee and indicate to the committee that the reorganization and restructuring of the South African Police Service was introduced together with a turnaround vision when it was announced during my first year in office. So it started previously. By the time the current committee came, the reorganization and restructuring was already in process. We did not have a formal opportunity to brief the current committee about the restructuring process. But I think upon direction or call from the committee, we can be able to do it at any time, which I also think could be an advantage. But we have seen this top-heavy structure to be one of the problematic areas. And I have already issued a directive on several occasions to say, let us scale it down because the normal percentage is 75 to 25, that which is where we want to go to. But just a brief progress we can share up to this far is that as part and parcel of our response before even the fiscal constraints became worse and the budget cuts came, we scaled down the DNCs from 6 to 3. Currently, we've got 3 deputy national commissioners because we've made the functions. And we have also then scaled down up to this far the divisions from 14 to 9, I think, we're still moving forward. And in the process, we have been able to scale down Lieutenant Generals and the macro function from 22 to 13, which is a difference of 9 at the present moment. I think one of them left last week and is not going to be replaced, but the budget thereof will be frozen and taken down to production that is level. The last report I got was the scaling down of the conservation budget from 62 billion to 53, which was a considerable scaling down process. But with the restructuring, we've also involved labor, and we managed to sign an agreement together with them. And we are working together on this particular structure. And just also for the information of the portfolio committee is the fact that we've also managed to establish and formalize the integrated resource strategy. And with the integrated resource strategy, we are then migrating all the resources, which is both physical and as well as human, that goes with the reorganization from the macro function down to police stations. And there's various of these resources that are in a process of going down to the police stations so that we can be able to get a better response, that is to crime. Then the visible policing budget cut. What I can say now is that the South African Police Service input is the highest in visible policing. I think it's 50% plus that we invest in visible policing. Whenever we have the cut, obviously it's a very big cut. We did complain about, in actual fact, we did not necessarily complain. We made our point, and we made the indication with regard to the implications of the budget cut that it will have, that is, on policy. But we also then understood that Treasury did not have any other alternative to assist us. But in order to make sure that we complement this budget, which goes with another question that was raised by the Honorable Member, how we're going to deal with less budget and sustain the performance, we have then introduced a number of interventions. One of them was to review the personnel plan of the organization. And in reviewing the personnel plan, we decided to enhance the force multiplier. We decided to invest more in the reservists, we are going to increase the number of reservists, and we have introduced new categories, which is within the traditional policing is the Royal Reserve Service, and within tourism, which is the Tourism Reserve Police Service. And the community in blue has been added by the presenter. Then within the safer city, we have then decided to invest in technology to take or to increase or enhance visibility, so that we would need less members in the street while we maintain high visibility, just to complement that is the shortage. Within the investigation environment, we have restored the year of the detectives, and we then decided to direct the resources more to the high priorities, such as your gender-based violence, investing in the FCS. And we have also introduced other specialized units. And an example, which is the introduction of the cold case unit, and which is where the communities are actually complaining quite a lot. I think, Chair, the other questions, I am going to leave them to the operatives, and with your permission, can I open the floor for the DNCs?
Thank you very much, General. Could you just indicate who will speak?
I will give the first floor to Lieutenant General Vuma, followed by Lieutenant General Masemula, and the third one will be Lieutenant General Mpas.
I
can't
hear
you.
General Vuma, can you just raise your voice, please?
Thank you very much.
The sound. Honorable members, there is a sound. Is it my gadget or?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, our Deputy Minister of Police, National Commissioner, and all the police. I'm trying to activate my video, but where I'm sitting, it is a bit of a challenge. However, I hope I am audible enough now.
General Vuma, there is a sound on your mic. Honorable members, am I the only one hearing this?
Honorable Chairperson, can you, is it better now?
Oh, there's a sound on your mic. Could you move to another mic, please?
Honorable Chairperson, can you, am I better now?
The problem is the sound behind.
Sound, there's a sound in the background.
I'm sitting alone, there's nothing. Maybe it is my system, Honorable Chairperson.
Can I suggest that the next deputy proceeds, yes, and General Vuma try to just get the technologies to assist you. We'll take her as the third one.
General,
yes,
thank you, General Kotole. Can you take another of your general?
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson.
My apologies, Honorable Meshu, can you just switch off your mic? And then Lieutenant General Masimola.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, National Commissioner, and all colleagues. Am I audible, Honorable Chairperson?
Yes, perfect. You may continue, Lieutenant General Masimola.
Th- Thank you very much, Chairperson. There were a question around the firearms. The question on the firearm tracing system, I'm not sure exactly whether it refers to the firearm permit system. If it refers to that, the firearm permit system, yes, we don't have it currently. You'd be aware it was one of those that was cut off or blocked off some time ago. The firearm permit system was a system used for when members report on and off duty, but it doesn't necessarily trace firearms as such. The second question was around the improvement of the firearm, the CFR, whether there is any improvement. Honorable Chair, members will recall we developed an action plan where we hold different divisions and components responsible. From provinces, we centralized the functions of DFOs. And here at National, we also, of course, members are still working on a 50-50 basis, but we do employ overtime to fill up the gaps that comes in because as and when they work on 50% basis, there will definitely be an impact. With that, we are ensuring that we will make an improvement in terms of the system. With regard to long outstanding firearm licenses, members would recall that during the last two amnesties, firearm owners has to hand in their firearms, and we had to process those that wants to apply for firearm licenses. Firearms came in big numbers in certain months, especially the last month of the amnesty. We got around over 30,000 firearms. So if, for example, those people, all of them apply for firearm licenses, we would do our best to process them, but for us to do due diligence on each and every application because it goes through various processes. The time the firearms spend coming into our various police stations, we cannot spend the same time in issuing firearm licenses because there is quite a laborious process that one takes to process a firearm license. The DFOs, there is a lot of work that they must do at station level to check on the various factors before they can process such a firearm application to the provincial headquarters. Just to give an overview of how many we processed for the last financial year, We received both firearm amnesty and normal firearm applications. For the last financial year, 1st April 2020 to 31st of March 2021, we received 185,626 firearm applications, people that are applying for licenses, be it renewal or first license. Of this total, we finalized 62,082 for the year. Of those 62,082, 5,572 come from amnesty firearms, and 56,510 are ordinary applications for ordinary people that apply and are renewing. We have 123,544 that are currently outstanding that we are working on. So that, of course, excludes your competency certificates, which I don't have a figure yet. That's basically what we currently have. Yes, there will be those firearm licenses that has been finalized, but there are those that are not yet finalized. We are doing our best, but we have to take into account also that this firearms, especially those of amnesties, they came in big numbers at once. And we need to process those licenses thoroughly. It's unfortunate that we can't just issue them. Like, we receive five today, we issue five tomorrow. We definitely, there is a lot that we are doing on it. We have to do due diligence and make sure that all processes have been followed. But we currently have got, as I said, various teams that are working on this with a view to improve our performance. Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks, National Commission.
My apologies. Before you continue, we have had 120 days to process these amnesties and applications. We have had two firearm amnesties. We are still awaiting a report on these amnesties, the two amnesties that we've had. What is happening in the meantime? Since your last amnesty and today, there were people who could not hand in their firearms during the amnesty. So what are you saying, that those people who have not handed in their firearms or renewed their firearm licenses, that they now have illegal guns and that they are now effectively criminals? And your answer is actually totally unacceptable, because you have already increased the period to process to 120 days. Could you please respond, Lieutenant General Masimola?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The 120 days is a standard target for your normal application and or renewal of a firearm license. The amnesty firearms that come in huge numbers in a short period of time, they will not necessarily fall into that 120. 120 is a standard target for if you apply and or you renew your firearm licenses. These amnesty firearms, be aware, they came in a specific time in big numbers. And Honorable Chairperson will remember, yes, we had two amnesties. The first amnesty went and the second amnesties have went. But with regard to how many firearms since we met to now we have processed, we rely on CEDA to draw reports from the system. We don't draw reports ourselves. So the next report, they are drawing it on the 12th of May. So only after that date we'll be able to say from March to now how many have we processed, how many are staying and so on. Otherwise we'll have to do it the manual way, which takes quite a bit of time, and sometimes it's not exactly accurate as the system. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't know if General Mshala would want to add. He's welcome to add.
Chair, no point of order, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mapatsu.
I think, Chair, with due respect, General Masimola has not responded to your question of what is happening with the people who are still having their weapons with them.
are they now criminals or they're going to be criminalized? So I thought that's a question that you raised here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mapatsu. The matter of the Central Firearm Registry needs to be solved urgently. We are receiving daily emails. At least Gun Owners South Africa have now removed our email addresses from the database. But we still receive emails. I really am concerned. The number of emails I receive on a daily basis from firearm owners makes it again impossible for me to do my work. There are firearm owners who are complaining that they are waiting up to 2 years for these licenses to be processed. Can you please respond to these questions? What would happen? What is happening to those people who could not renew their firearm licenses?
Chairperson, if I may.
You may, Dr. Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. Also with great respect, Chairperson, the question I've asked on the firearm tracking system, it's not been answered. It's not about the dot pin. It's about the way I understand that system that has been switched off is that you know exactly which member of the police services received which firearm, and you know exactly where they are and who is in possession of it. If it has been lost, it can be traced. And to just say, no, it's about the dot pin, that's not what it is about only. So with great respect then, my question will be, how do you ensure, how do you control the fact that members of the services then receive firearms? How do you know who has which firearm and what happens with that firearm? That's what I want to know. And that's what I meant as far as the integrity is concerned about lost and stolen firearms from the SAPS. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add to the question I asked about people who have been waiting, we said two, and I understand there are also who have been waiting for 3 years for their licenses to be processed. A simple question now on this one is it a definite, well, maybe not say definite, but is it because of sheer incompetence to process applications, or is it unwillingness to assist people who have applied for licenses? So is it unwillingness? Is it incompetence? Is it lack of capacity? There must be a reason why it takes more than 2 years for people to get their licenses. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Tablanche.
Chairperson, thank you. I also have two questions. The one is, and I don't have the information in front of me, so I'm going to refer to a recent court ruling, but I don't have the information in front of me at the moment. I just want to know what the implication is of the court ruling that was handed down in the court, as I said, very recently about, let's call it the green licenses. What is the implication of that? Chairperson, and then my last question is, the General also referred to over time that they're going to pay for people to ensure that they sort of catch up, if I may call it that, with a backlog. But he also mentioned that they are working on a rotation basis. Now, how are people going to work over time if the position is such that they need to work on a rotation basis? And I have asked this question 4 times in the past already, and I just can't get a proper answer on this one. Why don't the police introduce a shift system? Then the rotation will be more frequent because people will work on a shift basis, and maybe it's not even necessary to pay overtime. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. You may respond.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and members. The farm amnesty, as we are aware, both farm amnesties, they came and gone. So if there is somebody who, during both the amnesties, could not hand in a firearm, obviously by now that person, yes, is in a lawful possession of that firearm, because the amnesty had a specific date, starting date, and the end date. Yes, the minister did indicate that we must start the process of the possible new amnesties. We are just finalizing the current one, the capturing of the current one, so that we can go over into, if minister approved, into a new amnesty. But that still has to be finalized, I'm sure, between the National Commissioner and the Minister. But it's the Minister that determines that. He indicated that he would want the next amnesty. With regard to the who have which firearm in terms of the farm permit system, as I said, yes, the farm permit system was switched off. After it was switched off, we resorted to the manual. We have a firearm register at each point where there are firearms. Firstly, we have a category of firearms which are personal issues. That is SAP 108, which each member has. They have with them, whether they are on and off duty. And those members that do not have the personal issue, there is a firearm register that every day when they report for duty, they sign for the firearm in the register. And for the duration of the 12 duty, they have that firearm, and it gets signed off when they finish the 12 duty. Members with personal firearms or SAP 108 firearms, when they report for duty also together with those, they get inspected by the commander when they go off duty and when they come back from duty, that they are still in possession of the firearms, and those firearm numbers are written also in their daily schedule. With which that's how we control the firearms currently, the firearm issued to police members. With regard to the question of Reverend Mishu of people that are more than 2 years, yes, we do acknowledge there are those that are more than 2 years that have applied, but they have not yet received their firearm. There are various reasons to that, General Mfalol, where possible. But one of the reasons people apply for firearm, you'll find that they submit duplicate applications sometimes. It does one application at this police station, does another one at another one. So at the end of the day, those applications at some point, they had to be figured out as to two applications or three applications on one firearms. So it will take time to finalize those. But it's not the only reason. Some of the reasons might be that where incorrect information was given, either description of firearm or the serial number, there was a problem. So those processes of changing, reconciling duplicate applications or tracing the correct information, sometimes, yes, it does take time. We do acknowledge there are those that are behind, but we are processing them. With regard to the question on whether the issue of overtime and rotation system, we acknowledge that the environment of firearm
does not have sufficient. Hence, the National Commissioner instituted that the organizational development do a work study, which they finalized in terms of how many people we would require at a police station, each police station, that will deal with the issues of firearms, number one. Number two, also, of course, we are all aware we are currently working on a manual system, which we are currently doing measures to go on a online system where the application process will be made much more easier if it's online and we don't do what is done currently, because currently a paper that is filled at Motherwell or Pampierstad police station, that paper must be transported to the CFR for processing, which at the end of the day, yes, they make the process of keeping the papers much more cumbersome, which we, that's why we are going for the online system, which is handled by CEDA and the TMS, to do the bids, and then at the end of the day we'll have a system that will make the process much more easier. So currently, those that we have, we are using mostly our Public Service Act personnel that we are using, and weekends, that's when we bring them to be come on overtime to work on weekends. The issue of shift system, we are looking at it, but at the end of the day, we'll need more personnel. We might go on shifts, but if we don't have enough personnel, it won't assist. So that's why we are looking first at capacitating the environment with personnel, so that there is sufficient personnel, then we can look at the issue of the shift system. Because currently, of course, the system sometimes it becomes slow in certain areas. It's not quite fast. I think those were the questions, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Thank you, General Sotole.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I just add in also assisting and supporting General Masemula? I think TMS is presently working together with CETA on the firearm permit system. Since we parted ways with the FDA. I'm sure later on they can be able to give progress. I think maybe if the chair would agree, maybe later legal services can also assist with the court ruling and as well as the expired licenses, the criminalization thereof. Just what I wanted to indicate, Chair, is that I have issued a few directives. One of them was a semi-centralization of the DFO function, that national takes control of it until we stabilize the whole process. Secondly, I think we want to assist a process of trying to shift the burden from the portfolio committee back to the police. Like the answer that the portfolio committee is expecting is exactly to understand what are we going to do with the long outstanding licenses, the 2 years and plus. I think within the current action plan, Chair, I am going to instruct that we have a special project on the long outstanding firearms. Those that are more than 2 years, we take an audit and it will have to be cleared within a short space of time, which I think we could say less than 3 months. Then again, the OD study that we have already instructed I think we'll just be following up because I instructed it as an urgent one. We're going to then be getting it within a short space of time so that we've got more capacity on this environment and then we stabilize and normalize it. Then finally, Chair, I think the Honourable Member has made an input with regard to the shift system vis-a-vis the rotation. I think we take this input and we're going to add it into the action plan and see how far does it help us to change the current process. So we appreciate the input. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Meshu, do you have your hand up?
Yes, Chairperson. I hope it's going to be the last question for today as I have to go to another meeting. I asked a very direct question that has been avoided. And I want to link it, Chairperson, to what you asked. And I don't think your question was asked unless I've missed it somehow. I asked whether the delay of 2 to 3 years that people have to wait for their licenses has to do with incompetence, unwillingness to assist in order to frustrate the applicants, or the lack of capacity. There must be one of these being one of the reasons. If there is competence and there is willingness to assist, why would people wait for 2 years without even hearing from the police how far the application is? If there was communication and feedback, well, many people would not be complaining, but they don't hear, they say, from the police. And your question was, are those people who have applied for 2 years and their licenses have not been processed, are they criminals? If they are found with unlicensed firearms, are they treated as criminals or how are they treated? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Reverend Meshu, Honorable Meshu. Recently, we also had a situation where a woman who was wearing a headscarf because of her religion was refused a firearm license. And when will we stop the manual applications at the Central Firearm Registry? Because Honorable Meshu, I think part of your question could be answered by the fact that they have a manual system. When will they go online and when will we have a digitized system? We are not going to be able to move. We will be visiting the Central Firearm Registry because we are all concerned with what is happening there, including what is happening with the rounds of ammunition. You may come back. Who is this broadcast PC line 3? General Satole?
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't think we know this broadcast PC line, but we will investigate from our side. Chair, I think the direct question by the Honourable Member, which requires a direct answer, it's lack of capacity. And that is why we have actually sanctioned an OD process so that we enhance the capacity within a short space of time. But then again, it's the system part is also contributing to a large extent. And that is why we are also now investing in making sure that we move to the system just to address the two in order to better the situation. But we are also going to strengthen monitoring and performance management. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You may continue with the responses.
Chairperson,
thank
you. I beg your indulgence, Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Meshu.
Is a person whose license has not been renewed for 2 years a criminal or not for possessing an unlicensed firearm? Yes or no?
Does anyone come in through you, Chairperson?
Lieutenant General Masimola.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. If you applied for renewal of a license and you have not yet received the new license, so you are not in illegal possession of that firearm. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable members, will have a day in which we discuss the Central Firearm Registry and the matter of firearms.
Chairperson, can I quickly come in because
yes,
there is...
Yes, Honorable Shembeni, because this is really a problem.
Yes, because now the generals must explain to us that according to this Act, the Firearms Act of 2000 or Section 60 or whatsoever, that states exactly what is happening when you have applied for a license and for how long must you wait for your license to be approved before you are being rendered a criminal or for being in possession of a license of a firearm without a license. There is a section or there is an act that says, or it's a Firearm Act 2000, Section 60 or whatever, that must stipulate, or 62, that says that if you have applied for a license and then while waiting for a license, and then if your application is being processed, you are not rendered to be having a firearm unlawfully. That's the explanation that we must have, that according to this Act, I think that was what the generals are supposed to tell us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Masimola.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. In terms of the current Act, which we all know is Act 60 of 2000 and the regulation, when you applied for a firearm license or you renewed, if you have not yet received a response, the day you receive a response that says your firearm license has been disapproved, then immediately you are in illegal possession of that firearm. But if you have not yet received a response, you are not in illegal possession of that firearm. And also, the firearm regulations stipulate that the one the chairperson spoke about, that when you take a photo for a firearm license, there should not be any thing that obscure your face. That's where the case of the lady came in, because she had a scarf on her face, and it was a problem to issue her with a firearm license in that regard. But we advise her to take it to the next level, which is the Firearm Appeals Board. Maybe whatever, if they overrule us, we'll abide by what the appeal board is saying. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, will come back to the firearm licenses because we still await the report of the second firearm amnesty. General Sithole, you can get your team to respond.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We'll give the next floor to Lieutenant General Mpazi.
Thank you, National Commissioner, the Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the DNCs and my colleagues. Questions, Honorable Chair, that I'm going to respond on is the one of the ICDMS as to how many stations that have been covered by the ICDMS. We have covered 998 stations currently, and we're left with something like 159 stations. Well, of course, we've got there are some little bit of technical glitches in as far as the remaining stations and, of course, the functioning the ICDMS. The issue was that it should actually function optimally. And of course, we know for a fact that on the issue of the ICDMS, the project, there are other external parties, your IJS, your CETA. But I think people from TMS are having interaction with CETA in terms of looking at those technical issues. And the second one is in line with the issue of the gender-based violence-related backlog. We know for a fact that we've got a challenge that we've been sitting with for quite some time in as far as the issue of forensic laboratories. But I think based on the plans, you know, Honorable Chair, we've been in different forums, Parliament, presidents, and the private sector, we've been interacting in as far as the issue of the backlog. And I think we've put up a plan that is addressing this issue in three folds. We're looking at the root causes, what made us to be up to the point where we've been. And also we're looking at the current backlog in terms of seeing as to how best can we come up with innovation that will deal with the current backlog. And then subsequent to that, we have put up an action plan in terms of dealing with those specific areas that needs to be dealt with. But critically so, we have identified that one of the root causes, the issue of administrative issues, the issue of the availability of the equipment that is being used in that environment, and lastly, the issue of the track and tracing equipment. But I think I want to assure this House, Honorable Chair, that we've made a little bit of strides in ensuring that we're addressing the issues. In addressing the issues, we look at the internal challenges that we're having as an organization, and of course, we look at the external issues. And one of the critical issues that we've looked at it very seriously was the issue of contract management and resourcing of the environment. And we look at the issue of the consumables, the PPEs, and the maintenance and servicing of the equipment. And in doing that, we actually put up an integrated team that we said supply chain has to look at this matter and deal with it. And I think we're on the verge of finalizing that part. And also we look at the issue of the track and tracing system. As you know that we had a problem of the PKM system, and there is an in-house kind of an arrangement we have come and presented to this committee on the issue of what we're doing on that aspect. And we're progressing well. It's a work in progress, of course. And we look at the HR aspect. On the HR aspect, there were issues of medical surveillances, the issues of adding more personnel and so forth and so forth. I think we've attended that issue. We've got a contract on the medical surveillance. We've advertised more than 100 posts again for forensic analysts. We have advertised external. Then also we've looked at the issue of the funding. I think when the CFO was presenting here, he has actually indicated the money that we've put in. And then we looked at the issue of the external issues. The non-availability of some of the equipment in the market that we're actually using, your consumables, some of the consumables that are not available in the market. We have looked at some other alternative options, and also the CETA, the relationship that we're having with CETA in terms of dealing with the research on developing of some systems. And of course, we are discussing with NPA in terms of the actual management of gender-based and femicide cases that are in court, that we need to concentrate on those issues, particularly cases that relate to women and children. And also, we look at the issue of the facilities that the PW should come into play. You know, we had a problem of KZN, our DNA left there, that it had its own challenges. Then we had the commitment that we've made about Eastern Cape. That is on track, and I want to assure this committee that on that specific one, we are actually working working hard to ensure that by the middle or towards the end of this year, we should be up and running on that one. And then the issue of the shift system, we are actually engaging with our social partners, specifically organized labor, in terms of resorting back to the shift system, so that we should actually deal specifically with the issues that relate with the backlogs. And then also some issues of procurement. I think we've overcome that issue. The procurements that we've done on the issues of consumables and so forth and so forth. And then also, lastly, Honorable Chair, I think we are progressing well in as far as those challenges that we faced in the environment, and working with the NPA, prioritizing cases, and of course ensuring that from time to time, because we've dedicated the overtime to actually deal with this issue of backlog whilst we're dealing with the issue of the shift system, so that it should be something that really will assist us in taking us forward. Then also the issue of contract management. We are monitoring the contracts that have been issued in terms of ensuring that we don't run out of time and we find ourselves not having contracts that are running. Then the issue of optimal utilization of the forensic exhibit management to maximize the actual output that we're making in as far as the backlog is concerned. Well, basically, we've got also a technical team that we've put up together. This technical team is interacting with the NPA and also is ensuring that is actually working towards putting off that backlog. And I think also when you look at our AOPs are actually directly focusing on this specific issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Maybe one can just add that we've also then interacted with an additional organization that we are going to be partnering with in fighting gender-based violence cases. So just to enhance and support this capacity. Lieutenant General Vuma is ready now, Chair. With your permission, can I give her the floor?
Thank you, General. The Chair has just asked that
I'll
call you back, Chair. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Pinnis. Honorable members, I'm having problems with my Wi-Fi. I've moved now more than once. So if I'm not around, could the WIP please assist me? Honorable members, if your Wi-Fi is not a problem, could you please switch on start your videos when you speak, because this is a live recording. You may continue. Lieutenant General Vuma.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also apologize earlier on for the sound. I've since resorted to my cell phone in order for me to be able to respond to the questions. Honorable members, Deputy Minister of Police, the National Commissioner, thank you very much for the opportunity. I would like to start by adding some information in the two questions that the National Commissioner responded to earlier. There was a question in regard to the number of and the names of the three police stations that are planned to be completed this current financial year are Mabiskral, Mega Vuma, and Rain Fast Mark. That was the addition. The other addition is in terms of the restructuring, where the National Commissioner highlighted
the number of the lieutenant generals that have been rationalized. I would also like to add the number of senior managers, meaning below those lieutenant generals who have rationalized the senior managers from a level of brigadier up to major general. In 2016-17 financial year, we have rationalized 168. For 2019-20, we rationalized 51. And for 2020-21, we are rationalizing 33. That is the only the additions that I wanted to add in regard to the to those two responses by the National Commissioner. And in regards to the matter of us, whether are we paying the municipal services, yes, we are paying our municipal services as the organization through the Department of Public Works, and we are monitoring it very closely because we used to experience on a number of occasions that most of our rent or hired premises will be closed due to lack of payment of services by Public Works. So we are monitoring that, and as we speak, our payments are up to date. However, the Department of Public Works has requested us to take over the payment of our municipal services because I think they feel that we're putting too much pressure and we're monitoring this very closely. They want to devolve it. They actually wanted us to start from April this year, but we requested that they must give us an opportunity to train our own members first. So we have a process that is running. If we are ready, maybe we will start with the payment of our municipal services in the next financial year. There was also a question with regards to the ICDMS as to how many police stations we have implemented it. I will later request General Mavundla to respond to that question as soon as I have finalized my responses. There is also a question with regard to the infrastructure of our academies, training academies. I will also request General Rich to respond to that particular one. However, in regard to the training that we initially stopped due to COVID-19 or suspended, we have since resuscitated our training. As we speak currently, we have reservists that are undergoing training. It's 2,469 who are currently at the college who started on the 12th of April this year. We are also planning a second phase due to the fact that there were also some challenges that we experienced, and we also realized that our target was 3,000, but due to those challenges, we could not get that 3,000. So they will be finishing their training by mid of August. Maybe by 1st of September, we will also get another intake on the reservist between 1,000 and 1,500. Then the other normal training of new constables will start in January next year, as we are planning. The other trainings, of course, are going to be resuscitated depending on our capacity in terms of us being able also to adhere to the protocols of COVID-19. There was also a question with regard to the full financial disclosures, whether are we disclosing appropriately as an organization. I want to respond by saying that in as far as the SMS is concerned, in other words, from a brigadier up to the National Commissioner himself, we have 100% disclosure in terms of its financial disclosures. And MMS middle managers, we are at 99%. The 1% is the two new appointees who have not yet disclosed, but we are attending to that particular matter. In regard to lower level, from a middle management to the lowest level, we are at 96% in as far as their disclosures are concerned. The 4% that did not disclose, we are addressing it, and we are taking corrective measures to make sure that we are also at 100%. Part of the challenges there was the movement of people from one station to the other, but we're addressing that particular matter. The other issue is, I think I have addressed most of those issues. I'm going to request them, with the permission of the chairperson, as well as for General Rich, to add in regard to the current of the academy, as well as the General Mavunda, to give the details in regard to the ICDMS implementation, with your permission, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
You can proceed, General.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, the Deputy Minister, the National Commissioner, and senior managers present here. Chairperson, I just first want to respond to the firearms that was asked by Honorable Groenewald relating to the police members' firearm. I just want to add on what General Masemola was indicating earlier on about the registers, but we do have a system to monitor our firearms in the police service, which is called the PAS system. It's a property administrative system. Now, with this particular system, Chairperson, despite the fact that members are booking in firearms in and out on a daily basis and being checked on the parade, we as supply chain management practitioners, every 6 months, we do our inspections at station level, which is checking the inventory system, whether our firearms are still there. And we also check each and every person's individual firearm in terms of the 108 to see where it corresponding with the system. During that process, we also can find out whether the members are in possession of the firearms or not. So I just want to add that particular point in. Chairperson, then with regard to...
My apologies, General Rick. Are you able to open your video?
Let me try my utmost best, Chairperson.
If not, you can continue.
Chairperson, I'm giving some challenges. That's why early on I had two gadgets present here. I've got a challenge, Chairperson. May I proceed?
No problem. Continue.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, then with regard to the station of Makapanstad, which was asked, I can just report that at the stage, the DPW is at a clearance stage with regard to the particular station, meaning it's site clearance that they're busy doing. I'll just have to follow up as to precisely what is going to be the completion date, but they are doing site clearance at the stage and the project design will still continue in this regard. And also based on that, Chairperson, as the National Commission was indicating earlier on, because of our new developments in our communities, we are being challenged to actually build police stations at various places in the communities. Now, we've also entered into a project where, if you have seen what the CFO was reporting to with regard to the mobile police stations, we did actually have a contract in place of which we are already starting now to procure our mobile police stations. So meaning that at places where there's no police stations, our mobile police stations will be starting to move through this particular communities. And we've already procured 15. And then this particular financial, we are trying to improve much more in the procurement of total numbers to cover those gaps where there's no police stations. Chairperson, then the question about the upgrading of the police stations, I just want to indicate also that we have got our current infrastructure development plan, which is actually moving up until the year 2024-25, which has been signed off by the National Commissioner, and this particular plan has also been shared with the Department of Public Works. And from that particular plan, we've also compiled our user asset management plan, which is called the UAM, in line with the GIAMA Act, which is a government immovable asset management plan, which needs to be compiled on an annual basis. We did submit our plan to Public Works. We are in a process where Public Works will have to reprioritize this particular UAM, and eventually we'll have to commit funds as We are still waiting for the allocation of our budget so that we can commit our funds, and eventually public works will be indicated as to which police station will be upgraded for this particular financial year. That's where I can actually add on, Chairperson. I didn't get a question from the previously from Honorable Honorable Treblanche that particular time over the training academies. My apologies for that, Chairperson, but if I can have that question, maybe I will respond appropriately. Thank you, Chair.
Could we just assist?
That question was asked by me about the current state of training academies in terms of infrastructure and trainers, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
Chairperson, we do have a number of training academies in our department. And as far as I'm aware, is that this particular building is still in a good state. But if we do have some challenges, Chairperson, we do have, especially in the various divisions, where we can actually do some up to the level of repair and renovation to a certain amount. And if that particular amount is being is much more than that, which is the threshold value of 500,000, then eventually we can put a contract in place. So up to so far, unless HRD, they are normally the custodians of this particular academies, but we do have our academies at the stage in a good state. Except that we, in Hammerskraal, we're still busy with a project, which we're still engaging with public works in this regard, but the building itself is still okay. Thanks, Chairperson.
All right. Is there anyone who, that's General Mavundla?
Yes, General Mavundla, please. Chairperson?
Yes, please.
Chairperson, I have my hand up. I just want to ask a question with your permission, please.
Okay, just ask so that they can respond, Honorable Treblanche.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think this question is directed to Lieutenant General Vuma. I ask a question about the reservists that were appointed as permanent police members. I haven't received a response on that yet. Thank you.
Okay. Can you just finalize that, General Vuma? Respond to that, because it is linked to what you gave before. Then we'll give General Mavundla to respond.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe I may not have captured the question appropriately. However, the reservists that are currently at the college are training for a period of 4 months. And as such, they started on April the 12th, and they will be completing on August. Their training has been shortened due to the reason that these are the reservists that have been trained in a number of modules that were supposed to be also be part of the basic training. Hence, their period has been shortened. We are also looking at having a second intake of the reservist once these ones get out in August. Maybe their training will start in September, which will also be shortened in a shortened period. So I may not maybe have captured the question of the Honorable Member clearly in regard to the reservist. There is also, Chairperson, if you agree, I forgot to respond in regard to the internal audit. Whether they are assisting the organization with regard to the qualifications. Yes, they are assisting to such an extent that I will also allow the CFO to elaborate on it, as well as one question that she want to clarify with regard to the 78% of the compensation and put that 78 clearly for member to be able to understand appropriately. I'm not so sure if I've addressed Honorable Member Terry Blanche in regard to reservists. Maybe I might have missed the understanding of his question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, may I just ask the question again? She explained very nicely, but there's just one part that is still not answered. May I ask that again?
Yes, I was going to say that your question is about you have knowledge that there are reservists that have been employed without having undergone training. Is that the question?
Exactly, Chairperson. The information that I have is that they were employed as permanent members of the police during December, and yet they are still only in training now. So we don't know whether they are competent or what. And I just want confirmation whether that is the factual position. Are they appointed already as permanent members, and if so, why? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I may respond,
General.
The reason why they have been appointed, yes, it is true, they were appointed. The reservists that are currently at the college were appointed with effect of the 1st of December as permanent members. Reason being, they were supposed to go to the college immediately during that time, but due to restrictions that were implemented where we went back to level 3, they could not go to the college. So because they were regarded as having a basic knowledge of police, they have been working at the police stations for a number of years as they have been identified, and they have gone through the assessment process and they also have passed all the modules that requires them to be taken to the college just for finalizing and finishing their formal training. A decision was taken to appoint them as full constables rather than the students that we directly take from the street who have nothing in as far as the understanding, experience, and have not yet worked or undergone through even any of the modules of the organization. That was the rationale. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can we get General Mavundlane?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members.
General Mavund.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yeah, audible, but you don't see your picture.
It may be difficult. I'm sitting at the college right now, but I'll open the video. See?
We can see you.
Honorable person.
Now we can see you.
Honorable members. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members. The minister, the deputy minister, the national commissioner, and also our executive lieutenant generals and colleagues. The only question on the ICDMS that General Vuma has asked me to add on, the numbers were already reflected by General Mfazi, that we have implemented 998 out of the 1,156 stations nationally. The remaining 159 will be implemented as we upgrade the network, because in the areas where we have low response of the network, it then hampers the processing of the cases. However, the cases are registered on the CAS, the old system, which then merges the information into the same database of the ICDMS. Thank you, Chairperson. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other person who is supposed to respond?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, I requested that General Dimpane respond on the 78% of compensation in elaborating the rationale on it, as well as the assistance by the internal audit in and assisting us with regard to the qualifications. Can she, with your permission?
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable.
Okay, you are back.
Yes, I'm back.
Thanks,
Honorable members, can we take this as the last answer and then move to program two? Our time is limited now.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Two issues from my side. I wanted to respond to the question from Honorable Khonebas in relation to the 78% overall weight in terms of economic classification on slide 10. I just wanted to clarify that 78% is as per the total allocation of the vote. Compensation accounts for 78.1%, not necessarily that it is aligned to program one. Program one's compensation allocation is 66%. I just wanted to clarify that on slide 10, it talks to 78.1% of the total allocation of the vote. And then there was a question in relation to what are we going to do to ensure that we get out of the qualification area. I must indicate, Chairperson, that there is an effort. There is one matter that is actually repeating in terms of a qualification for the department. That particular area has been included on the post-audit action plan that we have submitted to the portfolio committee, on which we are reporting every month in terms of what action steps have we taken to address this. There is a concerted effort between SAPS, CITA, as well as our own internal auditors to ensure that we rectify this particular matter. To this end, we have submitted our asset register to Auditor General. They are in the process of assessing that particular asset register on this particular matter so that then we are able to can get out of this qualification. There is effort, all the actions that we have indicated to the portfolio committee that we will be attending to make sure that we reduce the audit findings, ultimately get out of the qualification. They are proceeding well. We are confident that this year will be a better year in this regard. We are currently with Auditor General. They are finalizing the interim audit in relation to this particular matter. And so far, we have not received any problematic issues in this particular regard. And we are confident that this year will be a better year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, General Sotole. Could we go to program two?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, with your permission, as we move to program two, can we ask for permission just to allow General Zulu to respond on one issue?
You may.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members and honorable deputy minister, national commissioner and deputy national commissioner colleagues, I will be responding regarding the issue around the infrastructure for the challenges in terms of the infrastructure. And those challenges were sent in terms of the, through our UA user asset management program that you tell us to submit, which General Rick has already alluded to some of the submission that it was done to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure included those needs that the Division Human Resource Development has around the academies. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, General Sotole.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, some of the questions raised by honorable members on program two has been responded to, like the majority that has been responded to by Lieutenant General Masemula. There's just those additional programs that we have introduced, like one honorable member spoke about the, I think he mentioned friendly city, but our understanding was speaking about the safer city. I think the safer city, what we can then indicate on it now is the fact that apart from the 10 additional pilots that we are looking at, we are also busy with the compilation of the national index already at an advanced stage, and we're not only working within SAPS. It's a multidisciplinary collaborated approach, and that also includes other countries that are interested, that are working with us as part of the research. I think the people included in here are those who also designed the International Safer City Index, because it's a review to that. But I think if there's additional questions, Chair, from honorable members, we are prepared to add the responses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General. You may continue.
General Masemola, can I check if there's any additions you want to add on the questions on program two?
To all the questions on the program two. There isn't any other outstanding questions.
General Masemola, we have a problem with your sound.
Let me try.
That's better.
At this maximum, honorable chair. Thanks, honorable chairperson. I think we responded to all the questions with regard to, I think the national commissioner answered on the matter of safer cities and towns, because we don't only apply it on cities. We have few cities, but we also apply it on towns. And with regard to Community in Blue, we have launched in all the provinces. It's only traditional policing where we still have to launch in other provinces. That was due to problems that we couldn't because of the COVID. So I think those are the ones that are outstanding. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Do we have any further responses?
General Masala, is there anything from your side? I think I think we answered all the questions on the book. General Masala, are you there?
Yes, DNG.
There any addition in response?
DNC, it's just an addition that part of the instructions that have been given by the National Commissioner for prioritization of the long outstanding firearm applications. We have already issued an instruction that all those outstanding firearm applications will be prioritized. The age analysis has been conducted, and an action plan is already in place to ensure that we prioritize all long outstanding firearm applications. I submit. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Most of the questions have been responded to. Honorable members, we have 15 minutes. Would you like to still respond? We will also have tomorrow, because tomorrow we'll only be doing the DPCI. So if you are still unhappy, you will also have tomorrow. We're doing the DPCI tomorrow. Could I just get an indication from members, please?
Chairperson, my hand is up.
Chairperson, I wanted to ask a question.
I see the Blanche and Shembeni in that order.
Chairperson, just a suggestion. Yeah, we are going to meet tomorrow again, and maybe at some stage, and I don't know whether there's going to be during this round, we need to ask the police to give us, you know, some sort of a briefing on all this new developments that I really welcome. You know, the safer cities, the community in blue, and then the introduction of the traditional policing concept. That is quite interesting to me. I thought that we've been doing policing for a very long time already, but maybe they can just explain to us what exactly is meant by that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable de Blanche. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to ask the very same question, but for now, can the department explain to us whether this Royal Police Service will form part of the current reserves or reservist capability, or whether this will be a separate structure, and the reserve, this reserve, Royal Police Reserve, I think it was launched in December 2020. What informed the establishment of this reserve? And then with this traditional police, I've seen that it has been implemented in some other provinces. I wanted now the SAPS to indicate to us in which provinces it has been implemented and in which provinces were identified for implementation for 2021 and 2022. Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Khunova.
Thank you, Chair. I just want clarity. There was a response on my 78% of the budget for compensation. And the way I understood it was said that I must understand it's only for program one. Can I just have clarity? Because if I look at slide number 13, maybe if we can put it on the screen, I understand it, it's 78% of the total budget. Can I just please get total clarity on that issue? Because there's a big difference whether it's only for program one or for the whole budget. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. There we have the screen. Could we go to that page, please? That slide. General Sotole?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think the CFO is just going to add, but the 78% is for the total compensation budget for SAPS as an organization. But the CFO earlier on explained that the 78% does not apply to program one. It actually applies to all programs in totality, the compensation. And then the program one figure, I think she reflected that is on it. So when I listen to the honorable member, I think the understanding of the honorable member and the CFO is the same. It's just that the CFO added a clarification to say, because the question was raised while we were dealing with program one, it did not necessarily mean that the whole 78% applies to program one, but it applies to the whole organization. And as we have also given explanations to it, I think it still remain an abnormal figure for an organization to maintain that ratio. That hence the introduction of the reorganization and restructuring, which work through the rationalization process, as General Mvuma has indicated. So I think this is our response. We are on the same page with the honourable member.
Thank you, Chair. If I may, I want to congratulate the Commissioner General Sithole. It seems that I differ so much with the other member that we actually agree with each other. Thank you very much. I understand the explanation now. Thank you.
That sounds very typical, Dr. Groenewald. Honorable Groenewald, are you happy now?
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered. Thank you.
Could we have, are you happy, Honorable Tablanche and Shembeni?
Chair, can I add a response to it?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe just briefly, the traditional policing concept is the Africa concept of policing. We have now integrated the concept of policing which has been there practiced by traditional leaders, because we brought how they did policing in the past into the current policing system that we are using, because it was in part and parcel of the integration. And what they had before was the so-called traditional police, but they were not taken through professional training and other aspects. And apart from that, there were also traditional courts. And we then decided that let us professionalize this particular process so that in the traditional areas, we are also then able to spread an enhanced policing which include visibility. With regard to the status of the Royal Reserve Police Service, we just want to give an example. I think in one of the countries that we visited, we found that, that was through benchmarking, they have the Tourism Reserve Police Force other than running complementary to the police service there. Then we then decided here, when the personnel plan or the personnel budget was cut, to introduce a formal reservist personnel plan that will give us various categories of reservists. Now, among these categories, we identify the group that will work with traditional leaders. We identify the group that will work with the rural communities, which is the agricultural friendly reservists, and we identify the tourism reserve that is reservists. They are all trained professionally in the same way. They undergo the same training. The only difference is the deployment. There are those that are deployed to work in the traditional areas, but they still work under the command of the station commanders. And those that are in tourism, they are deployed in the tourist areas. They're given additional training so that they understand other aspects, such as your hospitality and other aspects. And those that are deployed within rural safety, they are the agricultural friendly reservists. So this is just this particular concept. But we would be ready to present the whole concept of traditional policing to the portfolio committee, including the safer city. We'll also be happy as well to add to it the policing economics, because it is also currently a very common and critical subject flowing around the country and as well as at international level. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, thank you very much, National Commissioner and your team. Honourable members, I'll just give the Deputy Minister an opportunity if he would like to say something. If not, then I'm about to close the meeting.
No. Deputy Minister. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to members of the committee. Thanks, General Stolle and the team for having been able to come to the committee and present. And we were only going to join you after because of the commitments that that came along the way. But we appreciate the fact that you could hold the fort with your team. Chair, thanks very much. We always appreciate the opportunity that we get to interact with yourself and members of your committee. And this will always make it possible for us to achieve what we have set forward for ourselves to do, because you always keep us on track. It's a helpful exercise, and it's quite enriching every time we come here. It's always the same time. It looks like it's a new experience because of the questions that you sometimes push to us. And of course, sometimes they are very difficult questions, but they are necessary questions to keep us in check. Thank you for this opportunity, and thanks to members for allowing us to come to account to this honourable body. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Once more, thank you very much to General Sotole and your team. We know that these questions are difficult, but they are absolutely necessary. We take our role of oversight very seriously, and we will continue with these budget debates for the next week or so. So tomorrow we'll continue with the DPCI and IPED. The IPED head has sent an apology because she's on training. We could not cancel that training because it was already paid for, and it would then be fruitless expenditure. I have then granted permission, National Commissioner, for an acting person at IPED to do the presentation tomorrow. You have that permission. Honourable members, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner and your team, I thank you for the fruitful discussions we have had today. If you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to still bring those questions. I think we this time around, we have to do a thorough piece of work, and we cannot leave any questions to John. I thank you for the opportunity today, and I thank you for the constructive manner in which we could conduct this meeting. The meeting is now closed. We continue tomorrow. Thank you very much.